ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ പത്യവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കീ ജയം നിതിലയാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കീ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനവായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shamali Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Vim Gauravani Prajarini Nurushayesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാമ്യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം അഭിദാമ്യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തിയം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തധ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബര സാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായ നേ നമാം നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂഗവരായ നേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാസ ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നേ നമാം വഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായ ദേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമാം പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രീയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരതോ മംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാത ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥൌ ശ്രീശ്രീരാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദ ദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ഠാളിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കൃഷ്ണൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തു നാഹം ഭക്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി वृषभानसुदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराण मुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीमष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे पुलारविन्दायत पत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतडा जयद्रथ जल गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकर दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशवाम् पाराशर्यवजसरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानक केसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद् भारत पङ्कज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मुखम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपादमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः स्तवैर्वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
So, as I mentioned before, that this Hastamalaka Gita, with its close relationship with Bhikshu Gita, and also with Jadabharata's teachings to the Brahmana, Rahugana, all those things, if you bring them together, you can understand where Srimad Bhagavatam, how they are, Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, how it brings everything together in the Ekadasham. That you will observe yourself if you start studying it, all the books together. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam, its complete philosophy is Canto 11. Isn't it? Ekadasha Skandam is the very cream of that philosophical understanding of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's philosophical understanding is Ekadasham. For example, if you look into the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, there, while discussing the Sadachara Nirnayam means how we should conduct ourselves in this world, whether you are Brahmachari, Grahastham, Anaprastham or Sannyasam, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There are five chapters in the seventh canto where Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi explained to him what is Sadacharam, what we should follow, how dharmam important is to follow here. There a question came up that certain things we are helpless in this life. For example, our own swabhava, which is the first thing, which we have to battle against all the time. Is it not? And that swabhavam includes kamam, krodham, lobham and bhayam, fear. Kamam, krodham, lobham is normal. Now and then comes and goes. Bhayam or fear is one thing that is permanently with us. In a very subtle level, it's operating all the time. What will happen? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen to this body? What will happen to the job? What will happen to the money? What will happen to one thing? What will happen? All the time. That fear in a subtle level is operating in us. With that fear in the background, it is very difficult to go in the spiritual life with full steam because of that fear inside. Is it not? So therefore, when Sadachara Nirnayam was discussed, Sri Narada Maharshi was questioned by Yudhishthira, how do I come over this? So he gave certain answers. Who? Narada Maharshi gave some answers to him there. He told him that if you don't want kama means desires to build up inside, the right thing to do is sangalpatyagam. Sangalpatyagam means that you don't develop unnecessary sangalpam inside, imaginations in your mind. Because it is from there, when the sangalpam gets stronger, kamam comes from that. Sangalpatyagam, he says. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita also. You will see there is a verse there. Sangalpa prabhavan kaman. There is a verse. Kamam comes from sangalpam. If you have something has got inside the mind, then you are in trouble. Once it has got inside, then the trouble starts. Then it will become a sangalpam. And sangalpam becomes stronger, it turns into desire. Kamam. Kamam. So, Krishna says, in the beginning, don't allow the sangalpam to build up first inside. So, therefore, there is in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, they are saying that sangalpa kamam, sangalpa tyagam. Don't develop sangalpam first inside so that it develop into kamam later. Develop into kamam later. That's one. Secondly, krodham. Now, krodham and kamam, they are brothers. One is elder brother, other one is younger brother. Kamam was born first and krodham comes later. They are always known as brothers. Two brothers working together. Very good friends also. Very good brothers they are. From kamam comes krodham. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita says there, kamal krodho bhi jayade. Jayado vishaya pumsan sangastirishu bhi jayade. Sangal sanjayade kaman kamal krodho bhi jayade. So from kamam comes krodham. So, kamaptyagam, Narada Maharshi says, so that krodham won't come. Anger won't develop inside. If you have that kamaptyagam all the time, not allowing desires to build up inside. So, then, how do we get rid of lobham? Lobham means greed, isn't it? Lobham, the answer is given, that in order that the greed should go from away, you should always think about the anartham that artham is going to build. Artham means wealth. What wealth anartham, what all inauspicious things wealth will create in us, to get rid of that, artham, artham will bring anartham. Anartham means inauspicious things, artham means wealth. So what anartham, artham will bring, one should always be conscious of that. In that way, lobham won't come into the mind. That's the only way to come out of the lobham. Artham, think about the anartham of the artham and then come out of the lobham. Three things he mentioned like that. And finally, the most important and the most difficult one is bhayam, the fear inside. All of us have that fear. Always anxiety is in a subtle level operating inside all of us. What will happen in the old age? Somehow or the other, we have to get through this life in this world. It is a fear. It's a matter of fear for everybody, isn't it? There, the answer Sri Narada Maharshi gives here is Tattva Jnana. Know the Tattvam well. If you have the knowledge well inside, Tattva Jnana is inside, fear will go. It's due to absence of that Tattva Jnana inside that fear builds up. That means that is where this Hastamalaka Gita, Uddhava Bhikshu Gita, Hamsa Gita, all of them can help us a lot because it is all tattvajnanam it is. Nothing but tattvajnanam. If the tattvam is known well, fear will go from inside. Why is the fear not leaving? Because of ajnanam inside, avidya inside. In only way to wipe that out from inside is tattvajnanam. That is why tattvajnanam is important. Tattvajnanam is so important that without that tattvajnanam, fear will be there inside. Always doubts, suspicion about everything. And always fearful about everything. What's going to happen? Alma cannot experience that fear, because Alma under no circumstances experiences fear. It is only due to my avidya inside, identification with the subtle body, and also due to the ajnanam that is present inside me, that I experience fear. So, in the 11th canto, that is why in 11th canto is important, because of this tattva-jnanam. Tattvam is what is spoken in the 11th canto. Nowhere else you will find as strongly as spoken as in the Ekadashaskandam. So, in there we saw Navayogi's discussions, is it not? Between the King Nimi and Navayogi's, we have discussed that before. And now Krishna, after that, Krishna begins Uddhavapadesham. Instructions to Uddhava, seriously, instructions begin, which we call it as Uddhava Gita. And there, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava that the Uddhava is the greatest devotee, isn't it? Parama Bhagavatam he is called. Is Bhagavatam, walking Bhagavatam he is, Parama Bhagavatam. So he is instructing him about Bhagavata Dharma to Uddhava. That is Uddhava Gita or Uddhavapadesham, whatever we call that, Uddhavapadesham or Uddhava Gita. So there, what is spoken here is the Paramahamsa's dharma. Paramahamsa means one who has reached that stage. Like who? Like Bhikshu. Like Hastamalaka. Like Jadabharata. And many others who have come to that state after several lifetimes going through spiritual life. This is how you can see that very clearly in their life in this world. When you look at them, you will see they are not ordinary people. Their level of tolerance, their level of realization, and their level of commitment to spiritual life. When you see that, all you can do is to pay your obeisances to them. Is it not? Look at the strength in them. Whether it is Hasamalaka, whether it is Bhikshu, or whether... That is why Krishna brought this Bhikshu there in the Bhagavatam. And when you study that Bhikshu's quest, Bhikshu's situation, and seeing that the questions that prior to that from Uddhava, if you look at that, Uddhava's questions and Krishna's answers to Uddhava, you can immediately understand why that Bhikshu Gita has such an important part of Bhagavatam and why it's so necessary to digest it very well inside for our own spirit, because they can only show us the path. It is up to us to take it on board. What they taught us, what made them what they are, is these things what they are talking to us. Whether it is Hastamalaka, whether it is Bhikshu, or Avanti Brahmana, or the or others who are there. You can see here, and in this Paramahamsa Dharmam, it is called Paramahamsa Dharmam. This Paramahamsa Dharmam in the Bhagavata Ekadasha Skandam is uncompromised teachings. That's why we say about that. Uncompromised. There is no compromise there. You can observe that in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. When you compare the Bhagavad Gita, there is some compromise in certain things. There is a difference, because one side is Uddhava, other side is Arjuna. Arjuna's position was a little different than Uddhava's position. Uddhava has gone very far in spiritual life. You can imagine 112 years with Krishna, spending the time. And that means you are with the truth 24 hours, is it not? With the truth. Krishna is the truth. So when you are with the truth, observing Krishna every moment in his life, every moment, this 112 years, observing Krishna all the time. And serving Krishna without any expectations from him. Nothing in return. Nowhere you will find any discussion about Uddhava's salary or anything. Uddhava was a devotee like that. Simply attracted by Krishna's knowledge, Krishna's renunciation, Krishna's beauty, all the opulences in Krishna. Seeing that personality of Krishna, Uddhava was completely carried away and remained with Krishna throughout their life. Never thought about anything else in this world. That is that personality. So, therefore, you will see, therefore, accordingly, the that is the principle. According to that attachment and surrender, the flow of knowledge from the other side, from Krishna's side also, Krishna will reveal more, depending on the degree of surrender. Bhagavad Gita is saying that, isn't it? So, that is the reason why this difference have come between Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna had little difficulties now and then. Uddhava had no problems at any stage. So therefore, higher the knowledge that has come in Ekadasham, what you find with Uddhava, which is not there to that degree, that's why we say there is some compromise in the Bhagavad Gita, but uncompromised teachings in the Bhagavatam. Ekadasha Skandam is uncompromised, it is. You can't have any compromise there. Whatever Krishna has spoken there, accept it wholeheartedly, without any question. That will be our success. If you start questioning Ekadasham, you will be nowhere. You can't get anywhere if you have any questions about Ekadasham. Ekadasham Skandam's authority is so high. You can imagine how many great souls have taken Ekadasha Skandam, including Sridharacharya Swamiji. He became famous because you can remember when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Vallabhacharya that I accept Ekadasha Sridhar Swami's teachings wholeheartedly without any difficulty, he said. Reason being this, that nobody else has handled Ekadasha Skandam like the way Sridhar Swami has done. To such an extent, and without any compromise, he has spoken that this truth coming from the truth. The truth coming from the face of the truth itself. That is where you realize it, Krishna's Jagadguru position, that Supreme Lord, Supreme Truth, speaking the Supreme Truth. So, to Uddhava, Krishna is saying to him, you can see that how the two words match. Parthaya Pradibodhidam is Bhagavad Gita. Remember? Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam. When Partha asked the question, Krishna spoke. Partha had problem. Partha asked the question. So Krishna spoke. But Uddhava Padesham, Ekadasha Skandam is not like that. Why? There it says, Bhagavataya Bhashidam. You will see, if you look into the Bhagavadam, how Sri Brahmarshi mentions this specifically at the end of that 33rd chapter, he says there, that how this Ekadasha Skandam has come about, he says that Bhagavadaya Bhashidam, you will see there that if you look into the verse 48, you have to look, compare these words. He says here, Edad Ananda Samudra Sampradam. It is the ocean of bliss. Which one? Ekadasha Skandam. It's ocean of bliss. We are not feeling the bliss because we are not in the ocean. That is why. Those who have reached that state. Yaedadananda samudra sambhradam. Jnanamrutam. Jnanamrutam. The knowledge and the nectar of that knowledge. Jnanamrutam. Who? Bhagavadaya bhashidam. It's verse 48. 11, 29, 48. Edadananda samudra sampradam yanamradam bhagavadaya bhashidam. Bhagavadaya bhashidam. That means Krishna bhagavadaya bhashidam. Krishna has already recognized Uddhava. You are a great soul. You are a great soul. Parama Bhagavadahi, supreme devotee in that sense. So, therefore, Krishna is instructed him. So, when you give instructions to a great soul like that, it can't be an ordinary instruction. Arjuna's situation was different. Arjuna is a soldier, kshatriya, householder, various differences. But Uddhava's situation was quite higher status here. Krishna consults Uddhava in many things, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you will see there. So, therefore, when Krishna instructed Uddhava, the level of instruction is also on that higher level, much higher level. So there we have seen before this Bhikshu Gita also, in that 22nd chapter, Krishna, which we discussed in detail earlier, that Prakriti, Purusha, two things exist. Material nature and Krishna, Purusha, Vigam. And Krishna explained there the difference between Prakriti and Purusha in that chapter. He explained that, Prakriti and Purusha. So, there he mentioned, it is so important to go through these verses again and again and again, because it is not something for remembrance. It has to go inside and it has to stay there. Under no circumstances you can any time give a lesser importance to that. So you will see there in that chapter, in the 22nd chapter, I think it is, Krishna mentions there, you remember that Prakriti Purusha, when he spoke about that, he said that yathambasa, this is why I am saying how Ekashaskandam is so important. Yathambasa prajalada taravobi chala iva chakshusha brahmyamanena drishyade brahmadi iva bhu. 53rd verse. 53. 11. I am saying these numbers so that when you go home and if you have time, please look at those verses again and see the spirit behind those verses, how this meaning can have a tremendous... Because when Krishna speaks, sometimes you have to observe this. Normally, Krishna doesn't speak very much. But when he speaks, it will be a lot of gravity in there. Something which we don't know. Not only we don't know, we don't experience it, but we don't even know about it. Even on a mind. We don't understand sometimes. But he has spoken this in certain situations. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, many places we hear about the different devotees, their surrender, their pastimes, and a lot of history in the Bhagavatam. Is it not? In many places. A lot about Krishna's lifetime in this world, pastimes. Subramashi has spoken that. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi has spoken that. And many other instances, it is the history of the universe, creation, and so many other things. Sargam, Visargam, Sanam, Boshanam, Modi, and various cantos representing all that. But places where Sri Bhagavan Vacha is very few, not many. There are when Krishna has spoken, but there are few places. Like Krishna spoke to Muchukunda, Krishna spoke to Akrura, Krishna spoke to Gobis, Krishna spoke to Uddhava. Like this, there are few instances where Krishna has spoken. And whenever Krishna has spoken, if you look at that, you will see there is something very deep inside there. And when he says something, you have to accept it as it is. There is no question of inquiring about it and discussing and analyzing it. There is no point in doing that. Because the reason is that Krishna has a purpose saying that. For our benefit, as Krishna said, and he's not forcing upon us anything. Up to us to take it or not. And exactly in the same mood when he said these verses. Yad hambasa prajalada taravobi chalaiva chakshusha brahmyamanena drishyade brahmadiva bhu yadha manoratha diyo vishayanu bhavo mrasha sopna drishtascha dasharha tadha samsara malmana. 3 verses, 53 and 54. 2 verses. What does he say there? Yad hambasa prajalada taravobi chalaiva chakshushabhramyamanena drishyade brahmadiva bhu yadha manoratha diyo vishayanu bhavo mrasha sopna drishtascha dasharha tatha samsara malmana. And after that, the another famous words, artehi avidyamanebi samsardarna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. One after the other, three important verses he has spoken there. So, first thing, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, this life in this world, material existence, is like a dream. He is saying this categorically. It's like a dream. There is no point in discussing that. It is a dream and you have to accept that as a dream only. And he says here that when the, suppose there is a river flowing and the water is flowing and there's trees at the river bank. If the water is moving, you see the water, trees also moving. Is it not? Trees also appears as though moving when you look into the water. The water is moving. Similarly, you can see the children when they play. They try so many things with their eyes. Have you seen small children doing? 5-6 year old boys. They'll pull out their eyes like this and make eyes to see one thing in two different ways. If you put the press, yeah, you must have done that. I've done that, so I'm saying. So, use the eye, because it's a fascination in the beginning, when you are able to see, isn't it? Eyes are open, when you are children. In the old age, you are after the glasses and the other things. But when you are children, you find fascination with your own senses. So with the eye, sometimes by moving the, controlling the eye, you can see one form in two places, separated. See, if I want to look at Prabhupada's photo, if I press his eye, I'll see two Prabhupada standing there. The same photo in two ways. So like that, children do a lot of things with the senses. Similarly, you must have seen them, they'll go running around, round and round and round till they fall. They do all these things, isn't it? Similarly, the mind, once there is sangalpam built inside, if you have any sangalpam that comes, sangalpam is manasa, mind is nothing but sangalpam. So, when sangalpam comes to the mind, it appears as though it has affected the self, Atma. It appears like that. The children, when they run around, they think the earth is rotating. They start thinking like that. When they keep rotating, what do they experience? They think the whole earth is also revolving. And they are also feeling the rotation of the earth. Actually, earth is as it is it not? It's nothing has changed. But because of their spinning with the body, after a while they start feeling, they'll stop and they'll see the earth is still rotating. They get that experience, don't they? They play all these games, children. So, in the same way, when the sangalpam comes to the mind, it appears as though we are affected. Is it not? We feel we have been affected. Just like when anger comes, or some desires come, or envy comes, they are all the dharmam in the prakriti. It is in the prakriti all these things. Anger, greed, lust, envy, all these things. But it appears as though it has affected me. What Krishna is saying to us is, that is that verse is saying, that it has not affected you. That's the first thing, to realize that. That is important to know, because if it has affected me, all these things, then there is no escape from that. Important Vedantic principle. If it has affected me, envy, anger, pride, lust, greed, all these things, if it has affected me, then it cannot go. It is a part of it then. The fact, because Atma's nature is like that. If anything has touched Atma, then it cannot be taken off. But the fact is, that is what Krishna is saying there, that nothing can touch Atma. Where is it then? It is in the mind. And what happens to us when the anger comes, greed comes, lust comes, envy comes? We get so affected by that and we think, oh, I have been in terrible distress. Terribly it has affected me. Something happened in the family, it has affected me heavily. It has not affected me, it has affected my mind. That's the point Krishna is saying there. You will see the importance of all these statements when you study later. So, there you can see prakriti is dharmam it is. Which one? This anger, greed, lust, envy and everything is prakriti's dharmam. But it appears as though it has affected the self, Atma. But it hasn't affected the Atma. Therefore, none of them, under any circumstances, can touch Atma. Cannot touch Atma. So, that is why that verse, asangoyam, 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 3 times stressing that in the Upanishad. Asangoyam, 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 puna, puna. Then, Sachidananda rupoham, aham eva aham avyayam. Sachidananda means the Atma inside. It is never touched by any of these impurities of the prakriti. It cannot touch. That is the most important principle. So, but having said that, people will abuse that. They'll go, you can go and, cannot go and murder somebody and say, oh, it's not touching me. Then you will be in trouble. Some people do, you did that. Devotees also done that. They have done this to others and said that you, it's only a transmigration of the soul. They said, after killing somebody, saying it's just only a transmigration of the soul. What's such a big thing about it? That won't work. That's not the idea behind it. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava here that in the next verse you can see, Artehi avidyamanevi samsridharna. Now, these verses are gems in the Vedantam and also in the Bhagavatam, also in the Upanishads, these verses. The realization that it can give you and the inspiration it can give you And the way it will keep you in the right track, never allowing you to fall off from the spiritual path. Otherwise, it's very easy to fall away from the spiritual path, is it not? But these verses, what is its important? Atehi avidyamanebi samsrutarna nivartade dhyayate vishayanasya sotne anarthagamo yada. He says, Krishna is saying there, that if there is nothing happening there, but in the dream, what is happening? All kinds of problems in the dream. Is it not? Sometimes you cry and wake up because of the fearful dream that you have gone through. Something has happened. Now, what is the main difference between the awakened state and the dream state? You see, in dream state, suppose you have to experience some misery. The time factor is there. It takes a long time to suffer misery. Whereas, that means, if I want to put somebody into a miserable state, if Krishna wants to, Prakriti, I mean, wants to put us into misery, in the dream state, because it is on a gross level that misery is put on us, that gross factor makes the whole thing a longer time. The same misery, in dream state, in a short period, you can be put through. It is misery either way. Whether it is in the dream state or in the awakened state, it's misery. But the main difference is this, that in the dream state, in a short span of time, a whole lot of misery can be thrown at you. In a short span of time. For example, say, here, in this awakened state, suppose you are going to get killed by an accident or anything, or some serious illness or something like that. There's a long span here, isn't it? You could get sick for many years before you leave the body and lie in the hospital, and in that process everybody, visitors coming and telling you that it's how sad it is, and their condolences and their all sorts of conversations that happens there. So you feel the fear of time here in the awakened state. Oh, if I get sick now, how many years I'm going to be in this state? Always that fear is there. And that could be a long time, and which you don't know. And sometimes when you hear the story of others, your friends or known people who had fallen sick and they didn't die, and they happened to live for a long time, say 10, 20 years, then it's all in your mind. It won't go away, isn't it? And you'll always think that if that happens, 15 years, 20 years in the bed, hospital, or being cared by others, you just, that time factor is strong in that vacant state. Now, that misery, what you are going through, can be cut short if you are in the dream state, if you experience that in a short period of time. Say, over an hour or so, you can go through the whole thing. Suffering, all this suffering, you can experience that in 1 hour and come out of that. So, here, it says here that the anartham, or these miseries what you experience in the Suknam stage, is also equally powerful, but there is a time factor attached to that. You don't have that same length of time what you will go through in the vacant state. But psychological problems, they will create problems for us sometimes, isn't it? So when we say, oh, we should go to the doctor, somebody says to a psychiatrist or something, and we go there, and there's nothing serious, all it is that in my mind I'm feeling a fear about something. Some fear in my mind I have created myself. So doctor is saying to me, after all it is something in your mind, it's not real, isn't it? But that is enough to be a problem. If I start getting a fear like that, something in my mind, fear about something, somebody, or some concern in my mind about something, that fear is sufficient to kill me inside. It's burning. But nothing is happening outside, but just that fear has got in somehow. Fear has got in somehow. So, even though it is in the mind, in the mental plane, sometimes it's more serious than on a physical plane. Have you noticed that? It's more serious than on a physical plane. That misery that's coming from that. Because physical plane, it's not too bad. Suppose somebody beat me up, beaten me all the time. a lot of beating I had to wear. I'll say, okay, I'll beat me as much as you like, and after that I'll go home and put some cream or something and massage it, and after a couple of days I know I'll come out of that. But this mental thing is not like that, is it not? Once it gets in, you don't know when it will get out, and you don't know what to do with it. Body, you can do something. Go to the doctor or chemist and get something, and you know, and you can come to terms with it somehow or the other, with the body. But mind is more difficult when something gets in, inside the mind. Because mental torture is a much bigger one than the physical torture. Mental torture is such a powerful thing, isn't it? It does hit you very hard. So, sometimes in the dream state, you see some dream and you get frightened. Will this happen to me? Or some dream which you may have read in some books, or people have dreamt after reading the fifth canto in the Bhagavatam. If that's all real, how much it is real, it's not that it's not real, but imagine that hellish planets discussed in the Bhagavatam. And if you know well that there is some account to be settled, then how fearful you can be. If you one day imagine that you have left this body and you have to go through all that, what fifth canto has spoken. So, some people, because they are frightened about this dreaming that can happen in the dreams, they don't want to sleep. They don't want to go to sleep. What they do, sometimes you can see this, some people, they keep the telly on whole night. Whole night the telly is on. And they go to sleep in the early hours in the morning, when they're totally, after watching all that rubbish for 7-8 hours on the telly, they'll go to sleep in the morning. A lot of old people do that. In old people's homes also, the answer to all the problem is television. That they put the television on, you can watch, they think that they've done their job. From their problems, isn't it? So some people, even in the vacant state itself, these thoughts will come. Many different kinds of thoughts. Because of the habit inside, and a lot of people are wandering around this world with a lot of mental problems. Is it not? You know that they have problems in the mind. They have problems in the mind. And thoughts are coming and they are unable to control that. Unable to control that. And the most serious mental problems in the whole world is in the most developed country, in America. You can see that. Symptoms of that comes out every now and then. One takes a gun, goes and shoots 10 people. He feels that some silly thing, 14-year-old boy has shot yesterday, some girl, that something, some misunderstanding, and shot. So, that's not normal, isn't it? There is some mental problem inside. And they say in America that 80% of the people are mental patients there. That is the truth. That they go to psychiatrists regularly, or some psychological drugs, whatever that is, they are using that. Because of the state of mind inside. So you can see, mind is a bigger problem than the body. Body is not a big problem. Now, because of the same way things are developing, that they are saying that we should have psychiatrists in all the schools and colleges everywhere to give the advice to the children. So at such an early age, they are getting affected by the psychotic problems. So this is the world we are living in. What I'm saying is, if you analyze these verses, you will see how this has all ended up. So thoughts are coming in the mind. I'm unable to control. What will I do? So, even though they are not real, it's causing me problems. These problems are not real. That is what Krishna uses that word there. Arthe anarthagamo yada. See that? Artehi avidyamanobi samsidir na nivartade. Artehi avidyamanobi samsidir na nivartade. Dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. Krishna's point is very important. He says sopne anarthagamo yada. Even though it happened in the dream, it has created enough damage. It has created enough damage to you. That means it has disturbed you, your balance inside. That heavy dream, whatever that has happened, sopne anarthagamo yada, it has done enough anartham for you. So, therefore, he says here, that is when Krishna is saying there in that verse that you will see that next verse, Tasmad Uddhava
Mam Bhukshu Vishayan Asadindriyai Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam.
You must keep this verse, particularly that third and fourth line, always in your head. Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. Nobody will tell you this anywhere in this world except Krishna. Why Krishna could say that? Because Krishna is in that state. That's why. Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. That is it. That one line is sufficient to make us aware what our problem is. Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. I'll explain that, what it means. Then Krishna is talking to Uddhava Bhagavata Dharma. What is Atmagrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam means? That, what is the essence of that? Essence is this, that Krishna is saying there, if you want self-realization, you have to come to a yoga state first. You have to come to a yoga state. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita, in many places Krishna saying that, Tasmad yogi bhava Arjuna. One place you will see one line. And Tasmad yoga yukto bhava Arjuna. Always saying, become a yogi. He is saying to Arjuna all the time. Is it not? So again and again he is repeating that. Now here the word yogi means what? Yogi does not mean here the Hatha yogi or the Ashtanga yogi who is performing the Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, all those kind of things. Which is not Patanjali's yogam. That's not Krishna is referring to that yogi. Because you can see from the words Krishna has spoken, that yoga state he is saying there. What is a yoga state? Yoga state means that there is total shanti inside. Always in a shanti state to stay. Always to remain in a shanti state. And that is why he is saying there, that not the Hatha Yogam, not the Ashtanga Yogam or Raja Yogam or anything. But in Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna uses the word Yogam, he means Shandi, Samadhanam, peace inside, Bhakti. This is that yoga state for a person. Shandi, Samadhanam, Bhakti. All these are symptoms of that yoga state. That means, and Krishna also said at that time, that to keep that yoga state, in the 6th chapter you will see that yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhotasya yogo bhavadi dukkha. That's the verse in the 6th chapter. In order to be like that, he says, sleep at the right time and on time. Not some people, you know, they are busy whole night and the day, whole day they will sleep. They'll wake up like the owl in the evening about 8 o'clock. They come fully active, fully awake. And then the whole night they are busy with something. That is the Rakshasa's life, isn't it? Krishna says they cannot have any yoga process. It's no point in talking to them about yoga. Yoga means to live in this world in tune with the nature. They have put us in a way. Nature has given us a certain way of life, is it not? That you can understand. We are supposed to sleep at a time, wake up at a particular time. That's what Krishna is saying. That yuktahara viharasya. Similarly, eating habits. To eat what is necessary to maintain the body. This is all important in the... We will see that when you come a little later. That how important they are. Yuktaharam viharam. Yukta chashtasya. Similarly, what is necessary in this world as far as vyavaharam is concerned. Only what's necessary one should do. Otherwise, yoga state is not possible. Only what's necessary. What is minimum? Necessary. So, and all what you are doing, aharam, niharam, vyavaharam, everything within the framework of dharma. You can't come out of dharma and do things which haphazardly, haphazard way, but you have to do everything within the framework of dharma. That is what Krishna is causing it as yoga state. That yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta satnava bhavatasya yogo bhavadi dukkha. That verse is only referring to that. To live in a way conducive for that everything yuktam. Yuktam means to a rhythm, to the nature's rhythm. That means most of our modern life is not based on that, is it not? You see, what we say now, we say 7/24 or something, 24/7, isn't it? Life, it is. What that means, 24/7 means we are advanced. 24/7 means we are advanced. That's what they're saying. So, supermarkets are open, all the hotels are open, restaurants are open right up to 3 o'clock in the morning. When you drive through London, you see in the morning people are eating at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the restaurant, sitting there and eating. What they're eating at 3 o'clock in the morning, only they know. What are you supposed to say to them? What yogam is that? It's a yogam only. That's all you can say. What a yogam, you can say. So you can see all life is like that today. With all that, it's no point in talking about this Ekadasha Skandham. It's not going to work for them. It requires that steadiness and that rhythm. Rhythm, as Krishna calls it. So, and people's life also, depending on what the employer says. If employer dictates to you that you have to come in the night, you have to go in the night. And because his logic will be, look, we are supporting some companies in America, so you have to be working the night time here to support there, because they are available in the day, or somewhere else in Africa, or in India, or some whatever it is. All these big IT industries in India are all busy in the night, because the dollar is coming from the America or from the Europe, so they have to keep awake in the night. So that means we have to live according to what the company says or the employer says, isn't it? So here, the essence is, what Krishna is saying here is that Shanti is important in all these things, and that there he says that Shanti, Krishna says to Uddhava, he says there, Mam Bhunksha Vishayan. You remember that verse, very, very important verses they are, because only when you connect all these verses, they say, Tasmad Uddhava, therefore Uddhava, Mam Bhunksha Vishayan Asadindriyehi, Almagrahana Nirbhadam Pasha Vaigalpiyam Brahmam. Almagrahana Nirbhadam Pasha Vaigalpiyam Brahmam. For example, he says that in this world, you can enjoy life as much as you want, is it not? Whichever way you like it, you can enjoy it. If you are decided to do that, going here, going there, and eating and drinking whatever you like, sleeping and whenever you like, and all other things, whatever people are, young people are, old people are also busy sometimes doing all that things, isn't it? And those things are like we think when we see various opportunities to enjoy. Krishna is saying there, like when you are in the desert, there is water there somewhere far away. We call it a mirage, isn't it? We think that there is water there, but if you are an intelligent person, you won't go for that water, because there is no water there. It's only a mirage, isn't it? So there is no point in going there to get water, because there won't be any water here. But if you determined, no, I'll go and find the water is there or not, and if you start running, what will happen? You will get tired and exhausted at the end. So similar, and that is exactly what's happening to all of us, in one way or the other. For example, if there is no vairagyam, mind won't come under control. This is an absolute fact. Nobody can question that. Anyone, that is why this Bhikshu Gita, Astamala Gita, and Hamsa Gita and all, trying to point out first thing is, if there is no vairagyam inside, the mind won't come under control. So, because with any technique, if you think you can control the mind, it's a misunderstanding. Because there is no technique to bring the mind under control. And any technique if you try to use to control the mind will get into that technique. That's what the mind does. If you try to use any technique to control the mind will get into that technique. And the mind will get absorbed there. And mind will, for 1 or 2 days, will try with that technique. And mind will make that technique, to use that technique to drag you mad. with that technique. It will happen that way. So, then what will start, say for example, people take to this meditation process for controlling the mind, isn't it? In the yoga institutes and all, they teach that. So they, after this meditation technique, they feel that we have to teach others now. That's the mind behind it. I have learned how to do the meditation. Then the next thing what I want to do is that there is something, now I have to make money out of it. So why not I open a yoga class somewhere? You will see so many yoga classes, even Lechmore Heath there is a yoga class going on. Bhakti yoga on this side, and the other side is the other yoga going on. So all yogam, everywhere yogam, yogam, yogam going on. And but no one seems to be peaceful anywhere. And these very yogis can next day take the gun and shoot each other. This is the yoga state now we are in. So mind is like that. There is no shortcut. This is all misunderstanding that you can control the mind with any technique. Therefore, in the this issue, vairagyam, how important it is to have vairagyam. Only if the vairagyam is there, mind will come under control. That is the first principle. Only if the vairagyam is there, mind will come under control. So that is why when they talked about that in the Viveka Chudamani also, you will find a very important verses, which is a direct reflection of this, what is spoken here. It says, Vairagyasya param sukhasya janakam. Vairagyam na param sukhasya janakam pashyami vashyatmana. Sache chudram bhavod sahidam swarajyam samrajyabho. Egad Eghadhvara majasru vikatam yuvat asmai to asmat param sarvatra srihaya sadatmani sada pratyam kuru shreyase. Pratyam kuru shreyase. And it is the vairagyasya param vairagyana param sukhasya janagam pashyami vashyatmana. He says. Pashyami vashyatmana. He says, there is nothing superior to vairagyam, which gives you happiness inside. Because vairagya means, what does vairagya means? Vairagya means that with knowledge and with ability to discriminate properly, knowing that it will create trouble for me, that will create difficulty for me in life, or it will make me bring distress to me and make my mind impure. Impurities will come inside, and able to stay away from that. That is vairagya. Vairagya means that with proper, that means you have reflected on things well, and therefore you know these things are going to create trouble for me in later in life, and it will damage my mind, and therefore able to stay away from that, and that is what is called vairagyam. In vairagyam they mean that. Because this vairagyam is not only for sannyasis. Householders also, vairagyam is necessary. Because vairagyam in other words is dharmam. Dharmam is vairagyam. So once you are attached to Krishna, then ragam, that is attachment to Krishna is ragam. That itself is the vairagyam. That means somehow or the other, if you got attracted to Krishna, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's personality, Krishna's life in this world, somehow or the other, if you are attracted to Krishna, that will bring a certain vairagyam in everybody. In everybody. So, vishesha ragam, to Krishna is anuragam. That means it will naturally bring vairagyam inside. So, in the gopis also said this to Krishna. Itara raga vismaranam nranam. Itara, in the Gopika Gita, you will see that. And that is the easiest way to develop that vairagyam. So, if we developed a sufficient bhakti inside, but bhakti has to happen first. If bhakti comes inside, then natural way, the world will go from inside the mind. So, we don't have to give up the world in that case. Suppose that attachment to Krishna has developed in some form, chanting the holy name, or in meditation, or deity worship, or sankirtan. In some or the other, if some taste has developed inside, then in a natural way, other attraction in the world will leave us. We won't get attracted by that. So that is a positive way, to make it more positive way. For example, if you tell somebody, give up this, give up this, give up this, it is difficult for people to give it up. So instead of that, bring Krishna and put it in the middle. In the middle, you bring Krishna inside. So therefore, execute bhakti, do things for Krishna to please him, and chanting the holy name, sankirtanam, meditation, and all other things associated with that. If nothing is possible, at least to cry towards Krishna, that I am not able to do anything, this is my situation, please help, and cry in front of Krishna. So, in this way, if somehow or the other, that you get some relationship with Krishna in this way, what will happen is, all other things will, that grip of the material nature, prakriti, will start loosening inside. It will not have that same strong grip anymore. Itare raga vismaranam nirnam. So here, to Uddhava, that is what has happened. That some or the other Uddhava got attached to Krishna. How it has happened, you can't answer that question. It's very, very difficult. Because Uddhava's life goes back to the childhood where he used to worship Krishna as a little boy. But he got so attached to Krishna. And therefore, the bhakti was already there in Uddhava's heart. Some unusual attachment to Krishna and unusual bhakti inside in Uddhava's heart. And therefore, what happened was that because Uddhava's bhakti, Krishna is feeling that he has to tell him everything in detail. That is how it's coming out. When the bhakti is higher, correspondingly from Krishna's side, the response also. According to your bhakti, the revelations from Krishna. That is how it works. It's not that something you can intellectually get it. Upadesha means that. Upadesha means when it comes from a soul, from a personality, Krishna, or from great realized souls, they will reveal to you according to your surrender and how much it has, bhakti has developed in the heart towards that person. That is the principle always. That is why spiritual master-disciple relationship is very special in that way. According to the degree of surrender, service, and that bhakti in the heart, that makes Krishna as Antaryami in the heart of the spiritual master to reveal to him the truth. That is called Upadesham. When we call it Uddhava Upadesham, means that Krishna, out of his, he is so pleased with Uddhava that he is willing to reveal everything to him. Not that he is keeping it as a secret, but it comes due to that flow of insight, the love, flowing, corresponding to that love from Uddhava, Krishna is revealing things to him. So, therefore he says, Krishna says to Uddhava, that now on, don't engage in the senses in any kind of sense enjoyment. And that is why he is saying there, Atmagrahana nirbhadam pasya vaikalpigam brahmam. That line comes there. That already many, many things are got inside the mind. For example, we can see in our case, people who are watching television, who are reading the newspaper, and who follow all the world news, election news, everything, that these things will keep coming like a serial going on inside, isn't it? So many things are going on in this world, in different countries, different politics, different kinds of problems and success and failures and leaders, this, that, so many things. And these are all facts. They are happening in all these different places, isn't it? But if they get inside us, what will they do? That will keep coming through us. Like a serial, it will go on inside, isn't it? So that is why, if that happens, Krishna is saying, it becomes Atmagrahanam. That is that word there. Atmagrahana nirbhadam pasya vaikalpigam brahmam. He's saying there. That means that if you have, the more you have taken from the world, it goes inside and it puts a strong curtain in front of Atma, in the form of mind. Mind is expanded heavily with all everything that is from the world. And that mind has become it completely covers the self, completely covers the self. That is what is called Atmagrahana Nirbhadam. Bhadi means that Bhadi means it illuminates, yeah. Nirbhadam means Atma cannot shine. Atma cannot come out. Atma cannot show its nature. Instead, it is covered strongly by the ajnanam we have taken from the world. Atmagrahana Nirbhadam. That is what it means. Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pashya Vaigalpikam Manam. That Vigalpam of the mind, these are all Vigalpam. All this is called Vigalpam. Which one? The world, the friends, the enemy, the society, and all the world news, television, all these kinds of things. Once they go inside, it creates Vigalpam, and that Vigalpam works inside and becomes a thick screen in front of Atma. Atma cannot come through it. Atma gets covered by all that things. So, there are so many examples given in the Upanishads for that. One example is that in the forest these aborigines live. We call them aborigines, but I think they call us aborigines as well. They are more aborigines than them. They have some human nature in them. We are the actual aborigines, not them. But anyway, for convenience sake, we'll say that they are the aborigines. So among these aborigines, one journalist went up to them. These journalists, what they are like. They have got questions, question after question. They go up to him. So he says to the aborigines, do you know who has won the election? He was testing him, how much he knew the election results, isn't it? So the aborigine, happened to be the leader of that aborigines group. He says, what do you mean by election? He said, what does it mean? He said, election. So this person thought, the journalist says to him, election means he was trying to teach him, make him more civilized, telling him that we have to elect a person who is going to administer us, who is going to run the government and do the administration. So so this chief of the aborigine says, oh, is that how you decide? He said, is that how you decide? It's about the election, he said. So he said, so the journalist asked, so do you know who conducts our administration, who administers us, he said. So that person said to him, that chief of the aborigine, he says to him, I don't know that. All I know is, here I am the chief. That's all I know. I don't know who is your chief, he said. Said to him, I don't know who your chief is, but here I am the chief. That I know, he said to him. So similarly, we are thinking a lot of things in this world going on in America. Obama is doing this, here Cameron is doing this, there Modi is doing something, here Putin is doing something. We think all these are big people running this world. What we do forget is, actually Krishna is running the world. These are bubbles coming and going in this whole creation. Who runs this show? Krishna is running the show. But what is happening to us is, we are thinking all these people are very important people. Who? Obama, Cameron, Modi and Putin and whoever you can call, all that big list in the world. We think they are all the most important people in this world. VIP, VVIP and all they say. Is it not? But if you look at them properly and if you see their position in this world, and what happens is, when we read all these newspapers constantly every day and television and all other reports, everything, their statements and everything, and the media and the all other things, newspaper, everything, that creates more and more sangalpam in us about them, about these personalities. And we forget that there is somebody, person higher than all these things, who knows what is going on and who has complete control of this whole situation. Isn't it? That we forget it. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Pashya Vaigalpikam Brahmam. It's a Brahmam it is, to think that these are the people who are running this world. That's only one side of it. Like that, everything from the world, when you take it inside, it will create more and more Vigalpam and more Brahmam. And that is what that statement is. Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pashya Vaigalpikam Brahmam. If you understand that statement well, then you can see the illusion what we are inside in our own head. Because media does this to us. Media constantly saying to us that American president is flying to here to sort this out, or Secretary of State is going there to make this agreement and that agreement, and somebody is flying here, somebody is flying there. And all these big, big leaders are making big, big statements, and suddenly you seem to realize that they also are disappearing from this world. But who runs the show? Who is running the show here? That we forget that Krishna is actually in charge here, and he knows what's going on here. So all of them, one after the other, creates this vigalpam inside us. Pashya vigalpigam brahmam. Brahmam comes from that illusion inside. And you can notice this one thing. In Prakriti, material nature, everything is changing, isn't it? Everything is changing. You can observe yourself and see how it is happening. So therefore, because it is like that, Krishna is saying to an important thing: don't let the mind go into the world. If you allow the mind to go into the world, this will happen. Which one? Pashya vaigalpigam brahmam. And once that happens, pashya vaigalpigam brahmam happens, atma grahana nirbhadam. Atma cannot come out. It's not possible. So, for example, you can see, if something happens here, excited. Something happens interesting to us, we get excited about it. Isn't it? And similarly, if something happens which is not to our liking, depresses, then we get depressed about it in the world. Because we let the mind to go into the world. That's why it has happened. Mind has gone into the world, and what has done? The world came in through that, and it created some happiness or distress inside, and I got trapped into that. So Krishna's point is, there is nothing here in this world to feel happy about. There's nothing here to feel happy about. Because in Prakriti, nothing will remain permanent. That's the problem. Suppose I'm getting excited about something. After some time, that happiness goes, because that thing itself has gone. Is it not? Say you bought a new car, for example, a very expensive car, £50,000 you paid and bought it. After, say, a year or so, you got used to it, and then you start feeling something else better than that is in the market. So your appreciation of the car is also going down inside, your appreciation. And then when you look into the market, the price of the car has also gone down quite a bit. And then you start realizing, oh, it's not anymore worthwhile. So this is the very nature of this world. Nothing can stay here permanent. Everything is changing. Everything is changing, and nothing is permanent here. They are continuously changing its nature. So, up to this day, Krishna is saying, there is not one thing that has stayed permanent in this world. Nothing is permanent in this world. Everything continuously changing. That's the very nature of this world. So, because of that, because of this changing nature of the world, Krishna is saying to us, and to Uddhava first, that don't let the mind go into the world. Because if you allow that to go into the world, all it's doing is, it's going and making contact with this changing world, changing nature. And never allow anything to get in from the world inside. Atma grahana nirbhadam pasha vaigalpikam. Only if you understand this principle, Bhikshu Gita, you will understand. And only if you understand this principle, Astamalaya Gita, you will understand. Otherwise, not possible. Because these are people, our Bhikshu and Astamalaya and all, are personalities who have come out of this. Their mind never goes out. They will keep their eyes open, but nothing will go inside. Eyes won't take it inside, because inside them, there is something else happening there. That bliss of the Atma has come to them. And therefore, the external world is of no interest to them. What goes on in this world? That's why we have to be very careful when we are talking to realized persons. We are thinking that they are seeing the world like the way we are seeing the world. They are not seeing the world like the way we see the world. They are seeing another world inside. That inner world has developed to them to such an extent, external world has no impact whatsoever on them. So, therefore, first principle, Krishna says, unless all this has happened to us, only after that Bhikshu Gita will make any sense to us. Or Hasanalaya Gita also. So, therefore, If you ask the question, how can I live in this world without giving any attention to anything in this world? So therefore, that is a difficult thing, isn't it? Because one time our mind was always in the world, it was never inside. After hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you start realizing that this world is not everything, there is something more to it than that. So you start, inquiry begins. But Krishna is saying to us that your mind should never go outside. From that you can understand, Krishna is talking about people who have come to reach that stage, who are in that level where their mind never goes out. It will never go out into the world. No attraction to anything whatsoever. So, therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told, there is a technique by which you can allow this to bring it down, of this mind going out. What did he say? Raga dvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Look at that verse. Second chapter.
Raga dvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Alma vishyan vidhaya alma prasadam adigachadi.
That's the verse, I think. Is it not?
Yeah.
Raga dvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Krishna is saying there, that for living in this world, you have to do some vyavahara. For living in this world, Krishna is giving us the technique, how to do this. If you want Ekadasi Skandam, and to relish Ekadasham, you need it. There is no other way. We have to bring it down, the mind going out. In order to do that, Krishna is saying, first technique Krishna is giving us, Raga Dvesha Vimukteistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran. So, that means without hate and without anger towards anybody or any object, do what you have to do in a dharmic way. So, dharmam is important and freedom from, not to create ragadvesham. Because if you bring down vyavaharam, it will be better always. The more the vyavaharam, more ragadvesham will come from that. So, raga dvesha vimukteistu, that's the first thing. Even if you have to do vyavaharam in this world, do not create ragam dvesham. That's the first principle. Raga dvesha vimukteistu. With freedom from ragam and dvesham, you should conduct vyavaharam. Vishayan indriyaischaran. You are allowed to do what is necessary, minimum necessary. And if you do like that, you will see there, that has to be done within the framework of dharmam again. Otherwise it will cause problem. Dharmam is necessary. That means without the, all kinds of cheating, lying and everything, it has to be done in an honest way. Otherwise, honest way, and also without hurting anybody, without causing any distress to somebody, it has to be done in such a way, the vyavaharam should be done, conducted in such a way that creates a minimum disturbance in this world and it does not create ragadvesham inside. So, that is one technique Krishna has mentioned there. So, at the same time, it is such a difficult thing, I know. It is a very difficult thing. Everybody finds that difficult. Because when you are busy with your harem, how it will all turn out, nobody can say. You are not in control of the situation. You also have to remember there that when we were born, we have brought with us something with us. And that is called prarabdham. Is it not? When we have come here, you brought with us that thing called prarabdham. That prarabdham, you cannot take it out. That is there. And because that prarabdham is there, that vyavaharam is coming because of that. It is only because of that prarabdham. So keep that prarabdham as it is. Keep that prarabdham as it is. Don't try to work against the prarabdham. And don't try to think that I will fight against prarabdham. First give up that idea. To fight against the prarabdham. I will explain this, why all this is important. Later it will come later. So, don't fight against prarabdham, first thing. If prarabdham brings something in life, accept it without questioning. Who said this? It's there in the Bhagavatam. Brahma said this. Tatenu kambam susamikshamanam bunjanameva atmakritam vibhagam. What is Atmakritam Vibhagam is prarabdham. It is prarabdham that is. You will see in the Brahmastuti, Brahma saying to Krishna, Tatenu kambam susamikshamanam bunjanameva atmakritam vibhagam hridva vabhubhyaru vidhanam namaste Jivyedayo Muktipade Sadhaya Bhag, 14th chapter, 10th canto. So there, Prarabdham, I will live with it. I won't fight against that. Because if you fight against Prarabdham, you will lose. You won't win. This decision has been taken way before. Prakriti has decided that through this body, this Prarabdham has to get through. That's why we are here. So Prakriti has already decided. That means you are fighting against Prakriti. That's not going to work. So within that Prarabdham, whatever you have to live with, accept it. That this is what it is. And within that, you have to remain in the framework of Dharma and do the things. So Prarabdham one side is disturbed, giving the problems in different ways. They will come and give you trouble. Or sometimes you will see good things also happening. That's also Prarabdham. That you are getting a lot of money in life or some name or fame and all other things. That's also, you may think, am I worth for all these things? And yourself have doubt about it. But somebody in the whole world makes you a big Jagatguru and all, what can you do? It's all happening. That person himself will be thinking that he's thinking about his own origin and thinking, I came from this background and the whole world is saying to me, I'm a Jagatguru. What am I supposed to do? But the world does not leave me. He's telling me that I'm a Jagatguru, so what am I supposed to do? It's all like that in this world. Nothing spectacular. So that is Prarabdham. Prarabdham is putting that person in that state. And similarly, name, fame, recognition, money, all these things are like that. It may, in a good way they do all these things, in a bad way also they can give you all problems. Health problems, bad name, and crisis in life, and all sorts of problems. So, good or bad, whatever it is, important thing to realize is, it's all Prarabdham. Within the framework of Prarabdham, all these things are happening. So, in that the Prarabdham, you have to live your life in the Dharma, in the principles of Dharma. In fact, Shastram says, even unnecessary knowledge even you should not collect. Unnecessary knowledge. Just like we go to uni and get all the degrees and everything. Ultimately, it's all damaging to ourselves, isn't it? You can see there, even that is not necessary. Why? Because once you get all that knowledge, Pashya Vaikalpikam Brahmam, it will create Brahmam. You can see a student who has gone to university, he requires more convincing about the existence of a higher authority than a farmer who never went to school. The difficulty, you see the difficulty there? A farmer who never went to school, he has only worked on this land and produced food, grains or vegetables, whatever he grew. That person, his mind and his frame of mind, is easy for him to accept it, a higher authority, existence of a higher law, easier for him. One who has gone to university and gone spent 8 or 10 years there, collected all the degrees and come back, after that he gets doubt about a higher authority. And if you tell him, he will bring all his scientific arguments against it. And then you, that is why nowadays we say that we have this institute for preaching to the scientists. You may be thinking that because they are so intelligent that you are preaching to them. No, they are so dull, that's why you need to preach to them. It's not because of anything else. That their heads have gone so way out that it requires a lot of energy to bring them back into the understanding of Krishna, principle of spiritual life, isn't it? Many of them don't accept spirit soul. What to do? They don't accept there is a thing called soul because their mind is occupied with all their other things, what they have learned in the university and whatever that is. Similarly, for example, we will study, is this earth flat or is it a globe? Or is it long? Does it matter? Does it matter? Think about it that way. What difference it makes if it is flat or if it is like a globe or if it's a long one? Does it matter? People ask all these questions, isn't it? Then there's something big thing has happened, we have found out. To that extent even, Krishna is saying, your mind should not go outside. These are questions normally we ask, isn't it? I'm saying how much useless thing we have collected and kept it inside, and that is why we are finding difficult spiritual life. This is the problem. All useless things has gone inside And now, every time somebody says something, otherwise these verses are so precise and straightforward. But before Krishna started about this Bhikshu Gita, he said to Uddhava, Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pashya Vaikalpikam Brahmam. Uddhava, first thing is, this Brahmam must go from inside. And Brahmam has to go means, Vikalpam must go. And only if Vikalpam goes away from inside, Atma, Grahanam of Atma will happen. Nirbhadam. Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pashya Vaikalpikam Brahmam. So those who are people who are serious about Krishna consciousness, who are serious about spiritual life, who are serious about Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, for them these words are the nectar. These words are the nectar. They have no doubts about it. They take it, Krishna is saying to us, that's it, finished story, end of the story there. I don't have to question that. Because personality who is speaking, that you have to take into account. It's not coming from a, not even from an acharya, from the truth itself. Atma grahana nirbhadam pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. Pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. So here important thing is that under all circumstances Krishna is saying that first thing, don't allow things to get in. If it's already got in and you will have to do something in this world, therefore, a small technique Krishna has given us there. Small means important technique. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Conduct the vyavaharam in such a way within the framework of dharmam without creating raga dvesham. If you can do all these things, then only you can go further from there. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's no point in doing all sorts of rubbish in this world and then on the other hand, I'm busy, I'm chanting, I'm going to make it. It won't happen. It simply cannot happen. It's not possible because there is a law behind it and that law has to be followed and Krishna won't give you any concession on these things. It's expected that we follow the law, what he has set up. So, for example, whether we go to Moon or Mars or Mercury or Saturn or Venus, whatever it is, all these things, those who want to go to all those places, let them go if somebody wants to go there. But to get us dragged into all that things, it's worthwhile, not worthwhile, if you are serious about spiritual life. That's the important principle. So, in all these situations, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, don't allow your mind to go outside, but engage in bhakti process here. Engage in this sadhana, what has been given. And one other important thing Krishna says, there is no knowledge in the Mars, Mercury, Moon, Venus or Saturn or anywhere else. Knowledge is only in one place, that is in the Atma. That is the most important principle. Knowledge is not anywhere else in this creation except in the Atma. It is present in the Atma. That is why, when you remember in that verse in the Bhagavatam, that Vadandita Tattvavidam, Tattvam, Yajnanam, Advayam. Advaya Jnanam is called Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. They are all names you have given to it, to what? To that Advaya Jnanam inside. So Jnanam is present only there, in that space, in the where we call it as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So therefore, Krishna says to Uddhava, allow the mind to go there, to that location, where the Jnanam is there. Don't allow it to go out. Don't allow that to go out. And you will see in the 22nd chapter, Krishna mentioned in that earlier also, Ekadasha Skandham, if you take it seriously, it is a different world altogether. It's a different world. It's not like even Bhagavad Gita. It's a different world. You will start thinking at a much deeper level about this life, our very existence. And he mentions there, that is why we said that it is very uncompromising knowledge is Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandham. So in this, in the 22nd chapter, the chapter before this, he already spoke about that. What did he say? He said that Shri Bhagavan Vacha, that is the verse before which we had discussed earlier. But again, I'll just touch and go. 31st verse. Drigriopam arkam vapuratra rantre parasparam siddhyadiyas svatakhem. Atmaya desho paramo maparoya adyam స్వయానుపథ్యాఖిల సిద్ధసిద్ధీ ఏం తుగాది శ్రవణాది చక్షుర్ జిహ్వాది నాసాది చిత్తయుక్తం దాట్ వర్డ్స్ దృగ్రూపమార్కం వపురత్ర రంధ్రే పరస్పరం సిద్ధదీయ స్వతఖే ఆత్మాయదేశ అపరోయమాద్యం స్వయానుపృత్యోగిల సిద్ధసిద్ధీ ఏం తుగాది శ్రవణాది చక్షుర్ జిహ్వాది నాసాది చిత్తయుక్తం యోసౌ గుణక్షోభకృతో వికార ప్రధానమూలాన్మద అహద ప్రసూదా అహం త్రివృన్మోహ వికల్పహేదుర్ వైకారిక తామసైంద్రియైశ్చ వాట్ కాసెస్ వికల్పం కృష్ణ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ దేర్ అహం త్రివృన్మోహ వికల్పహేదు వికల్పం కాస్ ఆఫ్ వికల్పం వైకారికం తామసం ఐంద్రియైశ్చ ఆత్మ పరిజ్ఞానమయో వివాదం అస్తీతి నాస్తీతి విధార్థ నిష్ట వ్యర్థోవి నైవో పరమేవ పుంసాం మత్త పరావృతధియాం స్వలోకాద్ సో దోస్ వర్సెస్ 31, 32, 33 విచ్ వీ హావ్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్ వెన్ వీ డిస్కస్ దట్ చాప్టర్ సో ఇఫ్ దీస్ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ నాట్ క్లియర్ యూ కెన్ గో బ్యాక్ అండ్ లిసన్ టు దోస్ వర్సెస్ వాట్ వీ స్పోక్ మత్త పరావృతధియో స్వలోకాద్ హీ సెడ్ దాట్ వి టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ దాట్ ఫర్ క్వైట్ సమ్ టైమ్ మత్త పరావృతధియో అండ్ సో దేర్ ఫార్ ఇఫ్ యూ గో బ్యాక్ యూ విల్ సీ దేర్ that only by the mercy of the spiritual master knowledge of the self will come eventually will come alpajnanam or knowledge of the self will come so guru spiritual master's role is that just like when you see the sun directly through your eyes in the same way when the eyes are open and the sun is shining in the sky you see it naturally similarly with the mercy of the spiritual master when our drishti means our vision has gone inwards instead of going into the world it has gone inwards that's called antarmukhatvam antarmukhatvam means started going inside and it has started working inside and it started seeing that our vision started seeing the presence of that awareness inside started seeing the awareness inside then you start realizing Atma is present inside. When it starts seeing that Atma Vastu or Bodham inside, you start realizing that Atma is inside. Atma is inside. So why we are not experiencing it at the moment? Because of all the Vigalpam what we have created due to our mind allowing to go into the world. So, and the person who has known that Satyam or Truth inside, they are called... Krishna calls there as matta paravrta dhiya, the word that is used there. Those who do not know that, they are called paravrta dhiya. In the last chapter, 22nd chapter, is more or less an introduction to the 23rd. 23rd is the Bhikshugita. So if you want to get a grasp of that Bhikshugita, 22nd chapter, you should get through it very well. Because that will open up inside that world outside is not important for realizing Vichugida. Outside world has no importance. The inside world is important for Vichugida. And for that, 22nd chapter. That is why it was spoken just before the Vichugida. So, those who are do not know that, so for one who has known that, for him it's no problem. But those who do not know, they are called Paravartadhyaya. That is what is that in that chapter. That means, Paravartadhyaya means, those whose mind is always in the world outside. Always in the world outside. And that for him, he argues, oh, does Atma exist? Atma doesn't exist. That's what he's saying here. Astiti nastiti. Does it exist or does it not exist? All these doubts are for that person who paravrtadhyaya, whose mind is outside in this world. And sometimes they say, oh, it's very difficult to realize the self. We don't know whether it's true or not, all these things. And sometimes they will keep arguing about it backwards and forwards. And they'll wander in this world, wasting their time in this way. That's what Krishna is saying. You can waste your whole life arguing about this way and that way. Does the soul exist? What's the size of the soul? Where is he present? How does he move from one body to another? You can keep asking all these questions. What's the use, he's saying? Krishna is saying. What is the benefit? At the end, because you are paravrtadhyaya, that's what your problem is. Your mind has gone out in the world and it's busy with the world. And therefore all this question after question is coming. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, I am saying to you, take it, he said. In a very full authority he is saying here. That, that Chinmatra Vastu inside, Alpa inside, take it that it is there and work from this. And he says to him, and stay in that state all the time. Then you won't repent about that. You won't repent about that. This is how spiritual life is. You can't go there and keep arguing about it. What is the point? It's not going to help. Especially after coming to Ekadasi Skandam, this arguing and discussion and questioning and all, you have to give it up. It doesn't help. You can do that in the beginning when you register as a bhakta or when you start your spiritual life first time. You can ask all these things. But if you start discussing Ekadasi Skandam, no question of asking these things, presence of this. So stay in that state, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Jnananishtha, Brahmanishtha, Alpanishtha, in other words, to stay in that state, Uddhava, he says to him. So, then you all ask the question, naturally the next question will be, what will I do with the Prakriti then? Prakriti has not gone away from me, is it not? So, everybody asks that question, body is still there, what shall I do with the body? The mind is still there. What shall I do with the mind? And if you say this to somebody, they will ask you the question, we have to live in this world, isn't it? To pay my bills. The usual song. What we will sing at that time. So because of this, a lot of problems also. That suppose you have decided to go in this direction, in spiritual direction. Even then, others will be there to give you trouble. Is it not? So, even if you give up all these things, the people around you won't let you go. They will get you. They won't let you go. Family members, society, friends, so-called friends, they will all come. And they won't let you go. They won't let you. They're around you. Friends and the family mainly. They won't let you go. So, they will, first they will try to pull you out from this. And then they will try to insult you. Speak in a way, ridiculing your way of life. And finally, they won't very... It will take a long time for them to say goodbye to you, knowing well that you have gone away from their way of life, isn't it? Society is like that. They won't let you out easily. It will put all the fence around you all the time and make sure that you remain within that framework. So, therefore, they will insult you sometime, speak in a harsh way, abuse you, and even if you come to spiritual life seriously, at home they will say, he has become useless. That will be the general conclusion about you. Do you know what your friends who are not interested in spiritual life thinks about you? Or your family members? They'll think something has happened to that man. Or woman, that man, doesn't matter. They'll be thinking about it, but they may not tell you straight away. But you will see that there is a big change in their relationship. They won't be as heartily welcome you because you are not with them. In their way of life has changed, your life has changed, isn't it? So that is where this problem will always be there, isn't it? What is the solution then? Solution is this. This problem is due to the prarabdham. That is the prarabdham. The problem of the prarabdham. That means, so if there is nothing else, this prarabdham will be there too. So, and that you cannot wipe it out. You can't do anything about it. So, and that is the very nature of prarabdham. For example, when you go shopping, sometimes when you buy one, you get one free, isn't it? Similarly, when you get this body, once someone comes with this free, that's prarabdham. So all these things is prarabdham that you have got. Buy one, get one free is that you got the body, with that the prarabdham has come. And they will come in the form of your family members, society. You have no relationship with anybody. It's some illusion in your head that you have built up due to society. That, I'm connected with them in this way, if anything happens to them, what will happen to me? All this analysis in the mind and suffering from that. Is it not? Everything in this world is like that. So-called family relationships and society relationships, all on that level. And you start thinking that, what will happen? And you want to have everything what's here with us now transported all together back to the spiritual world. That's not possible. That will not happen. When you go to spiritual world, you go alone. You won't go with everybody. That is finished here. One day the curtain falls, it's over. All that. So that is, that what you have here is prarabdham. That is prarabdham. That is why prarabdham you have to understand well. What is prarabdham? Prarabdham is all these things. It's not allowing, giving you the freedom to do when Krishna is saying to us so strongly, as he spoken to Uddhava, that Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pasha Vaigalpiyam Manam. That one sentence is enough to withdraw from the world. That's enough. That's all Krishna is asking us to do, withdraw from the world. But we are not able to do it. Why? Because of prarabdham. Prarabdham comes there. So prarabdham's nature is like that. It is free. It is given to you with the birth. You can have it whole life and use it whichever you like it. So, and that prarabdham generally, it comes in the form of distress. It's always distress. Prarabdham is distress. For example, somebody will die in the family. Or somebody will take birth in the family. You will celebrate and all that. But then inside your mind you are thinking, oh, other whole responsibility now. What will happen? He has to educate. He has to send to the university, college, and which way he will turn out. Nobody knows, isn't it? You know that, what the problem, because you by now you have learned in this world, two people are not same. Everybody is different. You are thinking, oh, it's my son, my son, my son, everything, he will listen to me. He will only listen to you up to a certain time. After that, he will tell you what he wants from you. That's the way the world is. That you, it's no point in complaining about it, because every jiva, when it comes to this world, it has its own agenda. Remember that. It has come with its own agenda. You are trying to interfere in its agenda, it will not work. It will not work. It's better to leave that agenda to itself, let it go, and carry on with your agenda, whatever you have. Whereas what we try to do, we have family and family members and all that, and try to keep all together, and we want to be an ideal member in the society, and in that process you will suffer heavily. You will suffer heavily from that. So Krishna is saying here that somebody will create trouble. From unexpectedly he will create some problems in life. And always there will be these problems going on in family life. It will be. That is why I say that is in the circumference. So circumference is called Maya. Circumference is called Maya. And the center is Krishna or Brahma. Brahma is the center and circumference is Maya. If you leave the center and go into the circumference, Maya's activity will be very strong. If you go into the circumference. So this is the understanding principle. Therefore, you have to prepare for spiritual life. It's not spiritual life is all singing, dancing all the way. Right up to the spiritual world. It's not so. When you understand, that is why we have to study Ekadasha Skandham. Come to that, what is Krishna saying here. So, from that center, if you are pushed out into the circumference, then all that forces of the prarabdham is rotating around us. It will catch you. The forces, circumferential forces are catching you. So, they are waiting there to find out when you will come out from the center. Center is Krishna and the circumference is Maya. So all the forces that's operating in the circumference is prarabdham. And if you are in Krishna, with Krishna in the center, then there is no trouble. But they are waiting there when you will come out from here to get you. So and then they have to give you the trouble. What is your dose? What you are meant to have, isn't it? So all these problems will be there in this world. Problem due to the body. Physical problems. And that will come in the form of diseases, illnesses. Once you get a serious illness finished, what is there then you can do? Is it not? Then you can't go anywhere. You can't even visit the temple. You can't associate with devotees and go for a satsangam. You are 24 hours busy with maintaining the body. It comes to that at the end. And what can be done? Nothing can be done. There is no solution to this problem. So therefore, in Vedantam, there is a solution, what they say. Their solution is this. That this solution, what Vedantam is suggesting, must happen before self-realization. Before self-realization. It has to happen. Before knowledge comes, before realization happens, before Atmanishtha happens, they are saying there that this person must go through certain stages in life. What are they? He says here, for example, certain sadhana or tapasya, what they call it as, sadhana or tapasya, whichever way you call it, not the sadhana like that you close your eyes and sit and perform in meditation or anything, not that kind of. Vedanta sadhana is like this. First thing, develop that discrimination inside very well about the temporary and the permanent. That is what Krishna says in that verse, Nasado Vidyade Bhav. That verse, chew it very well inside and total acceptance of that, a differentiation between the temporary and the permanent. Permanent thing is Atma, everything else is temporary. That clarity inside, very good clarity. That means any time when you look at anything, you have to be fully conscious that it's a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing. That much confirmed realization inside is necessary before coming to self-realization. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam, it is called. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam. That is the first step in spiritual path. Before we talk about self-realization, becoming established in Atma, before discussing Bhikshugita and all that, this is a pre-qualification for that. Then, that means attachment to the permanent thing and detachment to the temporary thing. Vairagyam towards Anityam, attachment, Ragam towards Nityam. Nitya Vastu is Krishna, Ragam there, and Anitya Vastu is the world and Prakriti and Vairagyam there. Vairagyam towards Prakriti, Ragam towards Krishna. Ragam towards, when we say Krishna means Brahmam, Atma, Brahmam, all these are different words used in relationship with Krishna. As a devotee, we will say Krishna. Attachment to Krishna and Vairagyam towards the Prakriti. Then, any amount of distress comes in life, you're able to tolerate that. No matter what that distress is. Remember when we started this class today, I mentioned one thing, that fear will only go when you have tattvajnanam inside. If there is no tattvajnanam inside, fear will be there. Throughout life, you will be living in a fearful state. But if there is proper tattvajnanam, tattvajnanam means, remember I mentioned many times what tattvajnanam means. Tattvajnanam means, what has Krishna spoken about this body? What has Krishna spoken about the society? What has Krishna spoken about the world? Your realization, in terms of what Krishna has spoken, that is tattvajnanam. Not what society has taught you, or what you have brought from the society, or from the university. That is not tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam is, what has Krishna given, what value Krishna has given to the world, Krishna has given to the society, Krishna has given to this body and the mind, Krishna has given to the friends and the family. Your understanding of what Krishna has spoken. If you have accepted what Krishna has spoken, that is tattvajnanam. That is tattvajnanam. And if the tattvajnanam is there properly, then there won't be any fear inside. Fear will go. Otherwise, one side, you will be fearing all the time. And you are thinking that Krishna is going to arrange everything to suit your happiness in this world. It will never happen. It will never happen because that is not how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is coming out of ignorance, is it not? So therefore, what Krishna will do is that with the help of tattvajnanam, he says, come out of the fear. So as a pre-qualification, before self-realization, these things, nitya anitya vastu vivegam, that means attachment, vairagyam towards the Prakriti, ragam towards Krishna. Then any amount of distress comes in life, able to tolerate it. Able to tolerate it. That requires tattvajnanam. If you have no tattvajnanam, you will be gone. You won't be able to survive that when that crisis comes. Any distress can come any moment in life, unexpectedly from any side. Is it not? You know, body can go, mind can go, family can go, money can go, everything can go, anything can happen in life. But any distress that comes in life, no matter what kind of distress comes, able to hold on to that truth. Krishna said this in the sixth chapter. Yam labdhva chabaram lapam anyade nadhyam tada yasmin sthitovana dukkhena gurunabhi vijalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samyitam. That's what that verse is saying there. It is only an explanation of that. That's all it is. So, no matter what problem comes in life, you're able to live with it. Because you don't know what will happen. Anything can come, is it not? You know, if you get a few knocks, you will realize it, that it can come any time. And some people, they have not studied Shastram. They have not done anything, but they were very good at it. And some people you will see in this world, they had so much distress in life that they have become so courageous. They have got that strength inside. They will say, let it come, whatever it comes, I don't care. What can come, they will say. Worse than things have happened like in that in life. That approach, that is able to, not through the hangaram, but understanding this world in the proper way, how distress can come, and when it comes, how to survive through that. Similarly, so ability or the strength to that capacity to suffer any amount of distress in this world. Similarly, if any pain comes to the body, able to tolerate that pain. Able to tolerate that pain. I know it will go, it won't stay, it's not that easy. Easy to say this in the class, but when it comes, you know what it is like. And we will say that, oh, we've got all these painkillers, isn't it? Very complicated painkillers they've got, starting from paracetamol on the lowest level, right up to the morphine. They will, and we think that that is the answer to the problem. But that is not helpful in the self-realization process. If you have developed this attitude in life, this is more favorable than the medicines that's available. Medicine that's available. We will say, oh, if we can take some morphine and do my devotional service. That, no. Without morphine, if you don't do devotional service, it's better. If you are helpless, of course, we all have our own different levels of capacity to tolerate things, isn't it? What I'm saying is that practicing this from early life and keeping that, this is the right thing to do. Morphine is a solution which may help at that time if you are in really serious crisis. They will give you the morphine. You can have the morphine because there's no other way. You don't have the strength to live that. But the right thing is, Krishna is saying, that have this capacity, strength, develop inside to extend possible what you can do. Therefore, all these things like fasting, it all helps that, to develop that strength inside. Fasting and sleeping less and withdrawing from the other enjoyment in this world, from sense enjoyment. Everything helps there. So, therefore, these things, and next one, that when the pain comes to the body, able to tolerate that. Similarly, heat and cold. When heat and cold comes, able to tolerate that also. When the heat and cold comes. More than that, somebody insults you and speaks to you rudely or harshly criticizes you, able to tolerate that, that capacity. How? Without any revenge. You should not create any revenge mood inside. Without any revengeful mood, able to accept the insult or criticism from somebody else, or any vengeance inside. Actually, because these things are not cultivated properly, we go and study Vedantam. And that is where everything is failing, especially in the modern world. Modern world is after comforts a lot in this world, isn't it? So because we have so much after comforts, and then we study Vedantam, Vedantam looks very nice, the knowledge in the Bhagavadam and the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram and all, very, very higher knowledge, which you don't find it anywhere else. So, but while trying to develop that knowledge inside, this basic requirement is not there. That is why it is not working for many, many people. So that is the important thing. Then many people, they engage in meditation, they engage in chanting the holy name, japam, dhyanam, puja, kirtanam, sangirtanam, bhagavadam, everything. But inside, in a more enormous amount of hate, anger and dvesham, attachment inside, asakti inside. When these things are inside, it will not work. It will not work. And that will be very strong inside in them. All these things are very strong inside, and they are studying the Vedantic philosophy also. So, first thing, this has to be brought down to the extent possible, Ubarati Samadhanam, as Krishna calls it. And after all these things have cultivated well, then after that, if you come to contact with a realized soul, then there is not a long much to do. All he has to give you the final instructions of Tattvamasi, Mahavakyam, and then you are released from there. So if all these qualities, what Krishna has mentioned there, if all these things have developed well inside, then there will be no disturbance in the system, in our system. That's the advantage. Because otherwise what will happen? A small thing happens, our system is disturbed. If the system is disturbed, it's only due to the absence of all these things, which I mentioned there. Not enough realization of the temporary and the permanent. Nitya anitya vastu vivekam. Then no realization inside, a vairagyam for the prakriti and ragam for Krishna has not developed. No ragam for Krishna, nor vairagyam for prakriti. Another problem. Then unable to tolerate any distress in the life. When distress comes, you feel hurt very badly. That is due to our own angaram inside is getting hurt by that. And then when the pain comes to the body, finding it very difficult to tolerate. Little pain comes, all sadhana stops, all spiritual life stops, everything comes to a dead stop. Some little problem comes there. Similarly, so Krishna is saying, these things develop first. Brahmanishta, Atmanishta and all, not a big problem as far as Krishna is concerned. Similarly, unable to tolerate heat and cold, happiness and distress. Similarly, if anybody insults or criticizes, unable to tolerate, keeps brooding in the mind with the revenge inside, vengeance builds up inside. All these are factors, pre-qualification requirements prior to self-realization. Prior to, that is how Bhikshu Gita comes in. You can see the verses when you look into it. So, these are the problems. And if these things have come under control, what Krishna has spoken, to an extent possible, it will vary from person to person. Some people have a very high degree of tolerance. But it is necessary to have that for realizing the truth. Or some people will have they won't get disturbed if somebody criticizes them or abuses them or harshly spoken. They can live with that. They will say, Krishna has put me in that situation. How can I do? I have done what I can. In this way, able to come to terms with situation all the time. And similarly, when the bodily difficulties come, problems come, they will see, we'll see what happens with the body. What can I do? We'll go, whatever available, we'll try. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. What can be done? Who is in control of this body? Krishna is in control of the body inside. So every time taking Krishna shelter and feeling some protection from that, that's necessary. When you get abused, when you're feeling heat and cold, when you are experiencing any problems with this body, or any other distress comes in life, able to take Krishna shelter and feeling that that is Krishna's decision, I'm not going to complain about that. Krishna wants it that way. And similarly, ultimately only Krishna is real. Everything else is unreal. So therefore, ragam towards Krishna and vairagyam towards the prakriti. So if it is all like that, then you will see that your system, when I say system, your body and the mind and everything, that system will not get disturbed. If all these things have followed well, system won't get disturbed. And if the system is not disturbed, for him, the problems from the upadhi doesn't come anymore. Do you understand that? Upadhi means what? Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they are all your upadhi. So if the system is in a state like that, there won't be any disturbances from the upadhi. Otherwise, upadhi will get you. You won't be able to escape. So freedom from the upadhi is not a problem anymore after that. Otherwise, upadhi is a problem for you to go in the spiritual path. every now and then one problem or the other will come. One day you are sick with something. Some problem has come. You got sick. You can't do anything. Next day something happened in the family. Wife got sick. You can't come. Another day something else happened. Children got some problem. You can't come. Where will this end? After all this, Krishna is asking us, when are you going to come to spiritual life? He is saying. So therefore, Krishna's point is that Ubhadi Sambandha Prashnam. Prashnam, the problems that's coming from Ubhadi, first you have to bring them under control to some extent possible. I know 100% is not possible. If it just happened, then we won't be here sitting like this. But the remaining thing is that these points what Krishna has spoken. Problem with the body, able to tolerate that. That is what is called Tidiksha, isn't it? Tidiksha. In the Viveka Chudamani you will see that verse. What's that? Apratigara Purvakam Chinda Vilabarahidam Sahanam Sarva Dukhanam. Able to tolerate all the distress in this world, no matter what comes in life. Sahanam Sarva Dukhanam. How? Apradigara Purvagam. Without any vengeance inside. Chinda Vilabarahidam. And never to think about it and feel thoughtful about that, those things. That means you allowed that to get inside. Sa Tidiksha Iti Gachyate. It is called Tidiksha. That quality. So, Upadhi, all the problems are in the Upadhi. Is it not? All the distress, where is it experienced? In the Upadhi. Problem in the body, that's Upadhi. Problem in the mind, it's Upadhi. Say for all the problems in the world, family problems or problems at work, problems at other places, wherever it is, all of them, where is the problem? It's in the Upadhi, either in the body or in the mind or in the intelligence or in the ego or senses, wherever it is. These are the Upadhi. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they are the Upadhi. So all the problems are in the Upadhi. So Upadhi problems must go first. Upadhi problems must go. We fight a battle. It's a lost battle, but we are fighting it to keep our recognition in the society, social life, everything. And we think that we can have both perfection there and perfection here. We have mentioned many times, you will never have perfection in family life. If anybody has thought about that, that is called the biggest Brahmam. You remember Krishna used the word Brahmam? The biggest Brahmam is that I am going to have a perfect family life. That place is meant for blasting the bomb, for the bombs to go off. All the terrorists are living there, you are all living with the terrorists. They are ready to throw the bomb any time. You don't know when they will throw the bomb. And only when the bomb goes, you are still thinking like a terrorist bomb goes what? The police goes in and try to solve the situation, isn't it? It's like ready to explode any time. That's the situation. Every family all over the world, it's the same story. It's not different. If anybody says it's not like that, oh, my family, everything is fantastic like this. Only Krishna can answer that question. Because Krishna has spoken about this in the Bhagavatam. Just like you go to Kedarnath or Badrinath, you feel very cold there. And after some time, if you live there, you will see that you can tolerate the cold. Like these Gurkhas and all that. You see how strong, all in that peak, Everest, when they are traveling, all they have got is one jumper on the body. Nothing else. You will be amazed by their strength of that Sahana Shakti, the capacity to tolerate that cold weather. Many times you'll see if you go to Kedarnath and Badrinath, it's very cold there, isn't it, in the winter. Ice, snow everywhere. And we go there with all our jackets and jumpers and mufflers and gloves and socks and shoes and everything. And this man, he takes you on the top of this donkey to all the way to Kedaram from Gaurikund. It's about 14 miles. He's got slippers on his feet, this little Gurkha boy, Nepali boy. Yeah? He's got slippers on his leg. All he's got is one jumper. Look at their Sahana Shakti. That capacity to live through that cold weather. Isn't it? Why? Because he has lived there, grew up there, he developed that power, immunity like that, isn't it? Similarly, when distress comes in life, problems comes in life, if the system, our system, has learned that, how to live with that. If he has learned that, then, or if it has developed that immunity to respond to that, then it will help. Then it will help. Whereas if the system does not have that immunity, or if it does not have that capacity to tolerate with our system, then it is very difficult. It's very, very difficult. But you can see in this world many people who have got that. They have gone through amazing distress in their life, in the form of death, diseases, and financial problems, everything, and they still came on top of all that. Not that they became a millionaire. What I'm saying is that with all that problems what they went through in their life, they survived through and able to live in that shanti inside. How did they develop that? That is what Krishna is saying here. That these are requirements prior to self-realization. Self-realization is the last step at the very end. But if these things are not there, self-realization is not possible. It's not possible. So, it is like that. If you have experienced a lot of distress in this world, you will get used to it. You will get used to it. After that, what will they say? Oh, let it come, whatever has to come. What is going to come at the end? That attitude will come in life. I have seen enough, you will say like that. I am not bothered. That's attitude, isn't it? So, Krishna says to Uddhava at that point, this is the background of that verse. Krishna is saying there, if you look at that 22nd chapter, before the next one, it says, Kshiptaha avamanitaha asadbi pralabdho asuyidho athava tadida sannibaddhova vrityava parihabidaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is saying this. Kshiptova avamanitova asadbi pralabdhova asuyidhova athava tadidaha sannibaddhova. Finally, vrityava paridabhidaha. Then, nishtido mutrido ajnir bahudevam pragambidaha. Then, shreyaskama krichragatha almaan almanam udhared. Uddhava, almaan almanam udhared. There is no shortcut here. Then, these two verses, subsequent to that, he is saying here, that kshiptaha avamanidaha. Kshiptaha means, suppose somebody has thrown you away, and pushed you down from there. Avamanidaha. Avamanidaha means somebody has insulted you so badly, abused you. Sometimes you will see this, it can happen. Who will turn against you from where, when, nobody can say. Is it not? It can happen. Everybody is not in this, because their mind could be disturbed. It can come out, but at that moment in time, you happen to be the victim for that. Happen to be the victim for that. Very often it happens when you travel, particularly in the trains and buses and airplanes also sometimes. Sometimes you'll wonder, you know this, what this is, the seat, an airplane seat? Which you can pull back? Armrest, and also this back rest can go back and front, isn't it? So in one flight I noticed once, that the person, the friend, he pushed the seat back. Naturally the person at the back was not, it is an economy seat. So naturally the person at the seat, the front seat comes so close to him. So he said to him, push the seat front. Other person said no. And developed into a big argument. Inside the flight is at 33,000 feet, you are fighting there. And the air hostess comes. And do you know what? They have developed a locking system now in America, and you can buy them. Now, if you're traveling, this is how it is. So where, when it will happen, you don't know. And then, is your flight any more pleasant after that? The whole flight, you have argued and fought with them. Only thing, it didn't. Sometimes it can even turn into, develop into physical fight. Because sometimes somebody is drunk. And he is so upset that something else has upset him. But this has come on the way. And he turned against you. You happen to be the prarabdham for him to finish up. These are small instances. You are traveling in a bus or train. Something happened, somebody didn't like you. For some reason, whatever it may be, he abuses you. It can be in various ways, isn't it? They can abuse you. And then you start thinking, why is he abusing me like this? What have I done to him? No, your prarabdham has come through that person at that time in that form. And this will happen in the football field, it happens. sometimes you see some players complaining about that racist chanting. Call it. This is all Prarabdhamitis, but we are trying to bring rules and regulations to control it. It won't go. That Prarabdham is coming through all these things. What can be done? So Krishna is saying here that avamanidaha, that you can be insulted anywhere, in any time, under any situations. That even then, Krishna is saying, if they insulted you, pralabdaha, that they have caused all these problems. Asuidaha, that some envy has built up in somebody, and he has decided to punish you, because he is feeling so strongly inside. Tadidaha, he may decide to give you a few good beatings. Tadidaha, if he beats you up, then Sannibadhova, even if you ties you down somewhere, so that he cannot escape from there, lock you up somewhere. Vrityava Paridavidaha, that means he has even decided to destroy your livelihood. Even decided to destroy your livelihood, which is quite normal in the office politics. It's a part of that. That somewhere somebody decided that somebody didn't like you. What does he do? He reports about you in a bad way to the higher authorities and create ill feelings, because people are weak. They do not have the same able to influence the management, and management has developed a negative thought against you that can come up into your working life, and finally sometimes people leave company because of this. Vrityava Paridavidaha. Somebody decided that he doesn't. It may not have come from the management directly. One of your colleagues may have decided that he doesn't like you. Vrityava Paridavidaha. He thought that he should not be there working in the company. He doesn't think that you're also making a livelihood. So if he goes, maybe it may be good for me to go further up in life. The office politics, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here. Vrityava Paridavidaha. So this has happened many times in industry, in many, many big institutions. Always happen that very nice people, decent people, who live an honest life in this world, but try to conduct their work in a proper way, but due to something happens, everything, they follow the dharmam as much as they can, but somebody may put some blame on them and put them into difficult situations. People have left the work and gone away from here. That is what that Vrityava Paridavidaha means. Vrityava Paridavaha. They lost their job. That means they don't have any income to live in this world. So, even then, Krishna is saying, Nishtido Mutridova. Nishtido Mutridova. Somebody has spat at you, or somebody has passed urine on your head. And Anyaha Pragambidaha. Even all these problems, to that extent, you have been punished by Prarabdham. To this extent, you have been punished by Prarabdham. Krishna is saying here, Shreyas Kama. Look at that verse. Shreyas Kama. Krachragadaha. Altman Altmanam Uddharet. One who wants to go back to spiritual world, he has to live through all these things. So, before all these things happen, what Krishna said, that Nishtido Motridova, or before all this happens, Krishna is saying, if you had developed those qualities inside us, Vairagyam towards the Prakriti, Ragam towards Krishna, Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivegam, ability to discriminate between the temporary and the permanent, all bodily miseries when it comes, able to tolerate that pain, and all the distress what comes in the world, able to tolerate that, never to complain about it. And similarly, he also mentions there that the if any insults or criticism comes from others, without any vengeance, able to live with that. If all these qualities are present there, Krishna says, and after that, if all these things happens in life, what he has listed now, Nishtido Mutridova, and not expect Shreyas Kama Krichragadaha. If you want the Shreyasa means going back to spiritual world, realizing the self, that is the only Shreyas in this world. There is no other Shreyas here. Everything else is Prayasa. So if you want Shreyas, Shreyas Kama, Krishna says, Krishna Gadaha. Krishna Gada means that is all what you have in your head, nothing else. That's decided inside already. Alpan, Alpanam Uddhared. Uddhava, there is no other way. The soul you have to elevate from this whole bondage through the power of your mind. That means with that firm decision inside, Alpan, Alpanam Uddhared. Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita also, and same thing Krishna is repeating to Uddhava. To Arjuna he said, Uddhared Alpan, Alpmanam. Alpmanam avasadayal. Alpmanyev Alpmano bandhu. Alpmayev ribira Alpmana. He mentioned that. Here Krishna is saying here, Shreyas Krama Krishagada. Alpan, Alpmanam Uddhared. Uddhava, there is no other way to elevate the soul. To elevate the soul. Elevate the soul means to realize the self. That's what it means. To realize the self. So it is in that state a person who is saying to this world, I don't want any recognition in this world. You can imagine what vairagyam is necessary for that. When you see the swamis and others running after for recognition in this world, you start asking this question. Where are they? Is that what they are teaching the people? That if you don't want any recognition in this world, and don't want any respect from this world, no respect from this world, no recognition in this world, nothing, I don't want anything. I want only the truth to realize the self. And that means I want only Krishna, nothing else. If that realization has come, Krishna says, that is preparation for Vedantam. That is preparation for Vedantam. Otherwise, Vedantam is too far. Vedantam is not a subject for study. It is for realization. It is for realization. And all these things, what we have spoken today, is preparation for that. Is preparation for that. So, that is this preparation for Bhikshu Gita. You will see, when all these things have happened, what happened to Bhikshu? Bhikshu, it happened in a very short time, it all happened to him. Because Krishna, he said, what did Bhikshu say? Bhikshu is saying, I don't know what pleased Krishna to give this to me, this realization. What pleased him to give me this vairagyam in me? When he was very wealthy man, wasn't he? This Bhikshu. Brahmana, but very wealthy. Wealthy Brahmana. And the way he lost all his wealth, and the way the world treated him after that, because everybody was taking revenge on him. When he was wealthy, he didn't give it to anybody. That was the problem with him. He won't even give it to his own wife and children. What to talk about the whole society. Even to them, he won't share anything with them. He was so, what do they call? Miser. Confused or miser, whatever they call it, isn't it? You know, very, very rich people have got this difficulty. I don't know whether you know about these things. Eh? You can Google and find out. I'll tell you one interesting thing happened. You heard about Rockefeller, haven't you? Very well-known, wealthy person in the world. He had this Rockefeller Foundation and all that. This Rockefeller, when Vivekananda was there in Chicago, when he gave this lecture in Chicago, Rockefeller was there. Somebody told him that there is a very interesting personality had come who had attended the World Parliament of Religion, and he is different than anybody else. There were all the priests from the church, the Islamic representatives, and from all different religions, Jewish religion, all they were there. But there is this one person who is totally different from everybody. He said, you should listen to him. His friends told him this. Rockefeller was in Chicago at that time. And Rockefeller has become a very, very wealthy person. And he was so successful in business and money that Rockefeller has started his Rockefeller Foundation and all that. He was trying to establish. He hasn't done it yet. And he was invited to come for this meeting. And sadly enough, he went for the meeting and it was an eye-opener to him. What happened was, in that meeting, when Vivekananda spoke, he spoke like this. He said, if you are very wealthy, give up that wealth to the world. In a way, he addressed that world. And you will find happiness better than when you have it, he said. So, when he said, and those who are miser, keep holding on to themselves, he spoke about them very harshly in the lecture. Rockefeller got so upset. It's all in the internet. You can read it. Rockefeller got so upset. He said, "I don't want to see this Swami anymore," or Swami or whatever they were calling him. Vivekananda was in his usual style. He was so in a power of that Upanishad speaking to him from inside. He ridiculed, "What is this wealth? What are you going to do with it?" And so many things he spoke in that lecture. He spoke many days, Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. Everything was covered in the discussion there. And that is when they started realizing that Bhagavad Gita's philosophy remain higher above than everything else in this world. And students who were listening to him those days, they were so amused by the options available in the Vedic philosophy. How Vedas and the Rishis have analyzed this human society to such a fine level that they have this Karma Yoga system, Bhakti Yoga system, Jnana Yoga system, all options and the relationship between the two, all these three different yoga systems, everything. People used to feel, and whenever he spoke about Karma Yoga is on the top. Everybody was so impressed about Karma Yoga. And the next day, when he spoke about Jnana Yoga, everybody thought, yesterday Swamiji was telling us Karma Yoga is the best. Now Swamiji is saying Jnana Yoga is the best. And then third day, he spoke about Bhakti Yoga. And Swamiji said, nothing can beat Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is the best. So when it came up like that, people who are listening, there were a lot of young people who were listeners. On the third day, when he spoke about Bhakti Yoga in the same way, they went up to Swamiji and said to him, that Swamiji, you are trying to fool us around by saying this Karma Yoga is good, Jnana Yoga is good, Bhakti Yoga is good. Which one is the best one? They started asking. Swamiji's answer was very good. Swamiji says to him that yesterday is yesterday, today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow, he said. That means you have to understand spiritual life in that way. It is not that one thing selected and kept it in storage for you to feed your need. It is up to you in spiritual life to know your own weakness and shortcomings and take the benefit of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is giving you all options and you have to know what you need and take it on board. So it is in that context he was speaking all these things, and his lectures were very penetrating to the audience there. And Rockefeller was there. Rockefeller went home that day and he told the other friends that I'm not going to see him anymore, he said. Vivekananda went back to his place. He had one small room somewhere. Somebody accommodated him to stay. He wasn't bothered. We were willing to sleep on the road also. Swami, isn't it? That renunciation inside, Vairagyam, power of Vairagyam inside. So, after a couple of days, Vivekananda stayed for a longer time in Chicago that time. Because you had to travel by ship, you see. There was no plane or anything. And he had to spend months together. Probably over 6 months or so he stayed at that time on trip. And that is the time when Vedanta Society was established and all that. So, our Rockefeller, after a few days, he felt that he should see him again. Something prompted him from within. So he decided to go and see him directly. To go and see Rockefeller, Vivekananda directly. And so he went to see Vivekananda in the place where he was staying. He walked in there. When he walked in there, Vivekananda was writing something. And the person who was there said to him that Swamiji is busy or something like that. But Rockefeller, being very rich and very influential and powerful person, he wouldn't bother, care anything. He said, I want to talk to him, he said. So he went up to him and sat there with him. Vivekananda didn't even give any attention to him, kept on writing what he was writing. So Rockefeller, in his presence, he felt something happened in him. He left. After a few days, Rockefeller came back and he's given a huge donation for some philanthropic purpose. I don't know what it is. For some philanthropic activity, he has given a large donation from his wealth. And he had got that receipt with him. He brought the receipt, and when he came this time, again Vivekananda is writing something. What did he do? He took that receipt from his pocket and put it on the table in front of Vivekananda. Vivekananda looked at the receipt and looked at him and smiled. So what did he say to him? Vivekananda says to him that you owe me some gratitude. You owe me that I have done something good for you. Is it not? He said. Vyananda said to him. Rockefeller said, yes. It was such a burden, I got relieved after I handed over that check. So we won't know these things till it is done. This is the way the system works. It's all loading, loading, loading whole life. We have to learn to unload also. That unloading is the most difficult thing. That is what he was saying there, that Krishna is saying here, this tapasya, this austerity, and realized souls know where we are loaded heavily. And they were able to say this, and it is after that Rockefeller Foundation was set up. You can read it, it's on the internet. The Rockefeller Foundation was set up after that, and it became one of the biggest charitable institutions after that, because so much money he accumulated in business, isn't it? So that is another side to it. So, but we'll discuss that later. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. It's 4 o'clock now. So we'll continue with it in like a few minutes. Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam udivardhanam pradipada purnamradaswadanam Sarvatna Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangeertanam Namna Mahari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Pida Nemida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishita Vakrava Bhagavan Mahavi Durdeva Mida Shamiha Janina Nuraga Tranaravi Shunijena Tarohravi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Sundarim Kavinam Hajagadishakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shari Bhavadad Bhaktirahi Dugitvai Ayi Nandanu Jakingaram Patitam Vamushami Bhambudo Tavabada Pangajastita Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galala Shodaraya Vatanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagayam nijidam gadavabu tavam naman grahane bhavishyati Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Mayakshva padaradam pinishtumam darshanam marmahadam karyotuva Yadadadava vidadadilam vado mat prananathastunayevaparam Yatham vasa prachalada taravo bijalaiva chakshusha brahmyamanena drishyade brahmadiva bhu Yatham anoradhadiyo vishayanubhavo mrusha sopna drishtascha dasharha tatha samsaramalpana artehi avidyamanebi samsradirtna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatham tasmaduddhavamam bhukshva vishayanasadindriyaihi Almagrahana Nurbhadam Pashavaigal Pigam Brahmam Kshipto Avamanido Asadvi Pralabdho Asuido Dhava Tadida Sanibadhova Burtiava Parihabidaha Nishtido Mutrido Vatnir Bhudevam Pragambidaha Shreyas Kama Krachragada Alma Almana Mudharel. So after saying that, Krishna has left that to Uddhava. With that background, Uddhava understood that in before accepting this Vichugita, this preparation is necessary inside. So you can see that that is why when we are talking about that Almagrahana Nurbhadam Pashyam Vaigalpigam Brahmam, he says there, isn't it? So now you have understood what that means, isn't it? Almagrahana Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Manam. If you have that properly analyzed inside, if you have thought about that and understood the seriousness of that statement, then you can understand why Bhagavatam is difficult. In the process is this, that we are not ready for it. That is the problem. Krishna is ready for it, but we are not ready for it. Krishna is saying that Bhikshu, in the Bhagavad-gita you've seen, how he was able to come to that conclusions, is it not? What is that? Nayam janome sukadukha hedu na deva dalma grahakarma kala മനപ്പരം കാരണമാമനന്തി സംസാരചക്രം പരിവർത്തയേ ഭൂൽ. സോ യു റിയലൈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് സംസാര ചക്രം ഈസ് ഓൺലി ഡ്യൂ ടു ദ മൈൻഡ്. പ്രോബ്ലം ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ മൈൻഡ്, നോട്ട് ഇൻ ദ വേൾഡ്. ടു കം ടു ദാറ്റ് കൺക്ലൂഷൻ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഈസി, ഈസ് ഇറ്റ്? We solve all our problems in the world. Wherever there's a problem, we go there, fly here, fly there. But the problem is inside us. So to come to that conclusion, Bhikshu had to go through a very, very heavy punishment from Krishna. Bhikshu later says that, I got birth in a nice place, Avanti, where Krishna had his university education. He says, I got my birth in a fairly good situation as a Brahminical culture, with a Brahminical background. Everything favorable, and what did I do? I just struggled all my life to make money, and in that process I broke all the principles of... This Brahmana is not like Ajamila, you have to remember. Ajamila's problems he didn't have. Ajamila fell down due to women association, attachment to the prostitute, and that happened in another way. But this Brahmana didn't have any gross things, but his problem was this, miserliness. Couldn't attachment to their wealth, so deep inside, couldn't do anything, and he won't use it for himself, he won't use it for anybody else. This sort of situation has happened in his life. And that is why, that, and from that point, he had to come to this realization now, which is a long journey, isn't it? From that state of mind to come to this state of mind, Nayam Janome Sugadokahedo, is a long journey. And that happened to him by Krishna's grace. Obviously, Krishna either witnessed it or was there at that time. When he was there in Avanti, may have happened. Many people say like that. It has happened at that time while he was with Santipani Maharshi. So, the thing is this, that journey, what we are discussing now, is one centered around this one thing. Which is that Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pashyavaikalpikam Mana. If you have understood that statement, then you can see where the problem is in us. When we read Bhikshu Gita, when we read Hamsa Gita, when you read Dattatraya Gita, when you read Aila Gita, why it's not having any effect on us? Because of the Vigalpam inside. Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pashyavaikalpikam Mana. Otherwise, Hamsa Gita, Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, Dattatraya Gita and all are the topmost Vedantic realizations they are. And it should give that amount of happy experience of that bliss of the nature of the Atma. But we are not experiencing, the only thing Krishna is saying that Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pashyavaikalpikam Mana. So the thing is this, that mind is a problem. The mind has to go. Mind has to go. If you remove the mind, then that truth inside will come out completely in its pure form. But, and that satyam or truth inside, which we call as the absolute truth or vastu inside, it cannot become anything else. That's what it is inside. Inside us, it's present there, ready to come. But because he can't come out because of the presence of this thing called mind. So, and right at this moment, if we have managed to get there, that my surubam, is my identity is that Atma inside, and the other things, that thinking that in spiritual life we have this misunderstanding, I've mentioned many times, which one, that I want to become something tomorrow, or I have to achieve something tomorrow, I'm going to lose these things tomorrow, or coming, going, all these things have no relevance to spiritual life, because we have cultivated the same business mind there. That's where it's coming from, that me thinking that I have to do this, only I'll get this. Atma is not something to be got in that way. It's already there, you already got it. What you are doing is actually removing the cover, what is actually putting the curtain, which is putting cover on the Atma. That's all it is. Not that Atma is going to come from outside anywhere. It's already inside. Atma is present there. So that state, once you have got there, this coming, going, everything will stop after that, and then there is no movement. And this is only possible through that knowledge, through the knowledge. And that knowledge is called Antarmukha Drishti, inward-looking nature, or in other words, it's called Nyapti. Remember that word, Nyapti? Nyapti is in reference to that. There's two things, Nyapti and Pratyekātmabhava. Pratyekātmabhava means that you will see in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam that Pratyekātmabhava, spoken about Pratyekātmabhava. Pratyekātmabhava, there it mentions that the as Jiva, which is in the form of Pratyekātma, present there, and as Antaryami, Paramatma who is present there, they are one and the same. As Jiva, who is present inside as the Pratyekātma, and that same Atma who is present as Antaryami inside, whom he addresses as Paramatma, is one and the same. They are not different. And we'll come that later. So there, it is very explicitly spoken that the when the Antarmukha Drishti happens, when we have, like Krishna mentioned before, you have drawn all your attention from the world and not allowing the world to get in, except for the very minimum basic what is necessary. And you have developed that inner world inside very well, then that is called Nyapti. Nyapti. That word comes in the Bhagavadam, in the Muchukunda prayers. Tvam Nyapti Matram, he says there. You are that Nyapti. Muchukunda says, you are that Nyapti. Nyapti is the word he has used there. That is in the 51st chapter, I think. Yeah. If you look at the Muchukunda prayers, what Muchukunda had to say, Muchukunda says there that the, in the, yeah. If you look at the 57th verse in 51st chapter, 10, 51, 57. Why did he say that? Tasmād visrajya shishamisha sarvato rajastama sattva guna anubandhanaha niranjanam nirgunam advayam param tvam yapti matram purusham brajamyaham. Tvam yapti matram. You are that yapti. The word yapti is used there. So here you can see there that once you have yapti or awareness has come, that you can't get by karma. Through action you can't get that. So therefore the process is that every time when the ahankaram falls, ego once comes in us, at that moment we have to learn how to bring it down. We have to learn how to bring it down. So you have to ask that question, who is having that ahankaram? Who is having that ahankaram? Where is the ahankaram coming? For whom is it happening? Not why it has happened or where it has happened, how it has happened. That questions have no relevance in Vedantam. In Vedantam, always the question is for whom it has happened. And if you are talking about bhakti process, the answer is there that completely you have to surrender. Paripurna Sharanagati. Complete Sharanagati to Krishna. Once you have done, how do you know somebody has done Sharanagati or not? The answer to that question is, if a person has done complete Sharanagati, then he cannot complain about anything. Because you have handed over everything to Krishna, isn't it? After, it's a very difficult subject also, because Sharanagati people misunderstand. For example, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there is a system. They give a lot of importance to Sharanagati. Ramanuja taught that Sharanagati is so important. But what happened was, after Ramanuja left, the institution organized it. The way like we organize things. Everything is like that. In spiritual life, the proper realization disappears when it becomes institutional. It can't help it. You can't help it. That's the way it is. So after Ramanujacharya, when Ramanuja was present here, he will look people who are qualified only to them. He will give that Sharanagati instructions. And once it's given, it will have its effect on the person. That is the way it was in his time. So after his departure, the Sampradaya had its own difficulties, and therefore they had different acharyas who came in there. Somehow this system got established called Sharanagati, and it became a ritual. That means at the time of Sharanagati, they put these names, Vishnu's names at different parts of the body, and accordingly mantras are chanted and Sharanagati has been completed. But Sharanagati is not that. Sharanagati is surrendering to Krishna. This is only a ritual for that. So people started taking that ritual as the whole thing. They didn't know about what Sharanagati meant. They thought this ritual is Sharanagati.
just like it happens to us also, isn't it? We take initiation, and we think initiation means all done. That's what we think about it. But initiation is only a simple ritual which hasn't got much to do with what you have to do later in your life. What you have to develop your spiritual life on your own. That is your responsibility. The person who has initiated you, we think that with initiation everything handed over there, isn't it? That and we sit quiet, we can do what we want now, everything, we are linked, they say. All misunderstanding this is. They say, are you in the parampara, they will ask. And if you are initiated, you are okay, you are covered. There is nothing to worry, you are okay now. They give you the certificate, clean sheet. But that's not going to help anything. Spiritually nothing has happened. You are still the same where you are before. Nothing has changed. Initiation is not anything. It's like the Sharanagati. It's another ritual that has happened, but Sharanagati has not happened yet. Surrender has not happened. Real surrender is this. I can tell you in everything it is like that in spiritual life. So, similarly, you can see here that the Sharanagati is that every moment this ahankaram cannot rise inside. If in a person ahankaram rises inside any moment, then Sharanagati is gone. Because if there is proper Sharanagati, there is no ahankaram in that person, for a moment even. It cannot develop. So this person, if he is in the bhakti process, he has to keep an eye on his own ahankaram inside. Is it waking up any moment and giving problems? If it is in the jnana margam, able to find out where it's coming from, and sending it back to the same place where it's coming from. That is jnana margam. Bhakti margam is sharanagati, we call it. And to inquire what is the nature of this ahankaram, where it's coming from. Who is having these chittavrittis coming inside? And continuously pushing the ahankaram back to the source where it coming from. Where coming from, isn't it? For example, this ahankaram is such a thing that constant vigilance is necessary, alertness inside. Because in your vyavaharam, you don't know how this ahankaram will come out in the vyavaharam. Even if you are not in the vyavaharam, thinking about something that you have done in this world, your ahankaram will dictate some happiness inside, some success or failure, whatever it may be. So, similarly, when distress comes in life, where does it hit you? In the ahankaram. It's your ahankaram that gets hit with the distress. But you're not conscious of all that. At that time, you have become that distress. You have become that. So therefore you suffer. You're not able to break yourself away from that. So this ahankaram, constantly sending it back to the source, either that or constant sharanagati, never allowing to ahankaram to do any damage, continuously being surrendered to Krishna. So even while chanting the holy name, ultimately we have to come to this Sharanagati state. That's what it is leading to at the end, isn't it? So, what it happens is, when you keep on chanting the holy name for a long period of time, that's why you'll see in Vrindavanam and other places, some people chanting 24 hours. For what? If you keep on chanting, the mind will become very sushma. It becomes very, very fine and subtle inside. That is the benefit from chanting. When it becomes very, very subtle, that you will see from where this chanting sound is originating from, Jabadhvani, where it's coming from. And along with that, you can see the movement of your ego also. That will only be sensed by those who have practiced it for a long, long period of time and who have very followed this process very intensely. Only then it will happen. Not by, I chanted my 16 rounds, that's all I've committed, I'm not going to do any more else. And this is it. And I will go back home, back to God. And that's all statements. That doesn't mean anything. What we have to know is that this chanting, unless it becomes to that perfection, where the japam is carrying on, and there's dhvani where it's coming from, you will notice that. Because when the mind becomes very sushpam, very, very subtle, very, very fine inside, you will know what is going on inside then. Up to that time, it's all theoretical, whatever we are talking about. So ahankaram's movement, you will be able to know that. And that movement, you will see that is not happening anymore. And this place is very stable inside. And that state is Sharanagati. that when Ahankaram is not waking up anymore from inside, false ego, and not creating any disturbances inside. And that state is called Sharanagati. So, actually what is happening is Sharanagati. What is happening is Sharanagati. And Jnanam, or knowledge, in other words, is nothing but Sharanagati. There is no difference in all these things. You are going in two different ways. One through surrender, other through constant inquiry and vigilance you are getting there. Through the Jnanamargam. So Sharanagati is Jnanam. And that Sharanagati is nothing but that state is Jivan Mukti, liberated state. But of course, that's only in relation with, you can talk about the liberated souls who are in that state. So, in fact, only Jivan Mukta, liberated souls, they are the Sharanagadis, Sharanagadas, and he hasn't got any effort to do anything in this world consciously. He doesn't have to do anything consciously. We have to put a lot of mind and thoughts into things. For them, they don't need that. So, and they also are not particular about anything. These are all problems of the mind. Atma is not saying to us, oh, you should have all these things, or you shouldn't have these things. Nothing. Atma don't put any conditions on us. Mind puts all the conditions on us. That is why we say, oh, this should be like this. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. In a particular way. In every our daily life, I'm saying, where do we bring all our conditions and restrictions from? The mind. Is it not? It's all the mind. And similarly, I have to get this, I have to get that in this life. And that attitude goes away in the realized person. Jivan Muktas don't ask for anything like that. Wherever Krishna has put them, they will stay there. It's like, as I mentioned before, like the leaf flying in the wind, how it flows. So, and they will accept anything what's been given to him. They are not all the time looking at the profit and loss of everything. That's all the mind what does, isn't it? And that state is called Sharanagati, when one has come to that state. So this coming to this Sharanagati state, it is for that purpose, even the self-inquiry. Because if you have that proper self-inquiry going on inside, in a natural way, Sharanagati will come to that person. It has to happen. That is the advice of Rishis, and Krishna's also advices. So, basically through self-inquiry, what we are doing is that. So, this Sharanagati, what it does is, every moment, this thing, what is causing the problem for us, which is the Ahankaram inside, whenever it comes up inside, Sharanagati pushes it down. Sharanagati puts it down, back to its place where it's waking up. So, Ahankaram is the one that is coming up all the time, isn't it? You have to know this Ahankaram. Ahankaram is not the gross one we are talking about. In our life in this world, I am doing this. That itself is Ahankaram. So, for example, I am speaking. That's Ahankaram. I am eating. It's Ahankaram. I am sleeping. Ahankaram. Everywhere, some identification with my body or the mind. That's Ahankaram. And as long as you have identification, there will be ragam, duesham, everything with that. Ragadvesham will come from that. Aham karta, aham bhokta. All these things. So, and this Ahankaram will come, and Ahankaram is dictating to us, it should be like this. I can only travel like this, or I can only sleep like this, or I can only enjoy like this. In everywhere, in every moment in life, Ahankaram is dictating from inside how it should be done. And it's expecting certain certain restrictions on us, conditions on us, isn't it? That's what is limiting us. Ahankaram is limiting us. So, when you are listening to all these things, who is trying to achieve all these things? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, I want to become like that. That is also Ahankaram. See that? When we are saying these things, reading this Jivan Mukta state, in your Ahankaram is telling you, I want to be like that. To be like Jivan Mukta. So you see how Ahankaram's grip on us? It won't let you go easily. It will hold you every moment. So that is why, every moment when you feel the presence of I, Ahankaram inside, we have to learn this, how to come out of that Ahankaram and move towards Aham Bodham, which is our actual awareness. And if consciously, if but to do all these things, those things what we spoke before is necessary. That means vairagyam and tidiksha, able to tolerate everything, and even the greatest criticism in this world about you or about harsh words spoken about you should not have any effect in you. So that is why it mentioned there, in that verse he mentioned that Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pasya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pasya Vaigalpigam. These are all vikalpams. What the world, whether it recognizes you or not, what does it matter? As far as your self-enquiry and self-realization is concerned, what this world has got to do? Except that it's causing problem. Is it not? They are not going to help you very much. World is not going to help you. Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pasya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. And Krishna is saying, Shreyas Kama Krishna Gada Atman Atmanam Uddharel. Uddhava, there is no other way. Lift yourself. Krishna didn't agree to take even Uddhava back home, did he? After staying with somebody for 115 years, Krishna saying to Uddhava, go to Badrinath and reflect on all these things what I have spoken to you and come back on your own. That's what he told Uddhava at the end. Uddhava thought that like we all think, you know, there must be some shortcut in my spiritual life. Something will please Krishna and he will take me back home, back to Godhead. It doesn't work like that. There is a process, and that process will always be like that. But Uddhava is so kind to us. For our sake, Uddhava asked Krishna and got all this understanding for our benefit. Had Uddhava not asked Krishna, we wouldn't have got it. Is it not? Krishna wouldn't have given us these things. So, our gratitude to Uddhava for asking Krishna for all this and giving us this knowledge of the self or Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhava Vadesham. So this consciously of this awareness of Sharanagati or Sharanagati you are practicing. One has to practice. Sharanagati, or after hearing all these things, one has to practice that. But you can see how long the journey is. We have got all other things before this, what we spoke before. And otherwise, what will happen is, otherwise, if you don't have it, what will happen is, whatever you do in spiritual life, one day, this ahankara will cheat you. You may do so many things in spiritual life, but when the proper time comes, ahankaram will, from inside, will throw you out. All your plans will collapse overnight. And you will see why this happened. And then you are asking everybody in the world, why did this happen to me? Why did I have done so many rounds, I have chanted, so many years I have practiced a spiritual life. This has happened to big, big personalities, not ordinary people, big gurus and big jnanis, they have fallen, big devotees. It has happened to them. That they thought that they have done everything what they have to do. But ahankaram has not gone. That internalization didn't happen. And therefore, at a certain stage in life, something happened and they're gone. Gone. From it. So that is how it is. As I mentioned here, one mother, she said that she was having a lot of problems in life. Everybody has. And she came up to one of the sannyasis in Ramanuja tradition and told him that, what am I supposed to do? I got all these problems in life with the children, with the husband, with the family, this, that and the other. So when he heard all that, he said to her, surrender to Krishna, what else? Nothing else he can say to you. You just have to take Krishna shelter. Sharanagati is the answer because in their language they'll understand better. Sharanagati is a common word they have used there. So he told her, do Sharanagati and that is the only shelter. So she says to him, I've already done that long ago, he says. What does that mean? That initiation has been done, Sharanagati initiation has been done long ago. But there's no effect, he's saying. So that is where the problem is. We think it's another ritual. Sharanagati is another ritual. That I sit there in front of a fire, throw the bananas and the rice and flowers, everything into the fire and come back and get all the black thing and put it on the forehead, Sharanagati is over. Sharanagati is not that. Sharanagati is actually every moment, every second in life, never allowing hangaram to wake up inside and to push it back to the place where it's coming from and able to remain in that state. That is Sharanagati. Otherwise, it's not Sharanagati. Once the ahangaram wakes up inside, then it is gone. Then you're out. That is what Krishna is saying there. That Atman, Atmanam Uddharet. Atmanam Uddharet. There is no other way, Uddhava. Atma, if you want to remain in the platform of Atma, the Atmanam, the mind, has to be under control. It cannot come out like that. So, we are thinking Sharanagati is like a karmam, another karmam. And like the you can see here that in our case, I mean, to come to our own life, we see initiation. It's a karmam, isn't it? It's not a karmam, actually, what's happening there. But proper initiation to spiritual life is when you have entered into that spiritual realization. That is spiritual life, is it not? Otherwise, there is no. Another example. That namaskaram. Namaskaram means paying obeisances. Is it not? Namaskaram, we say that suppose you fall down. Dandavad pranam, we call it. Isn't it? Full extend pranam. Extended arm, extended legs, head touching, chest touching, belly touching, knee touching, feet touching the ground. Long extended arms. So some people play obeisances like that, isn't it? Extended danda namaskaram or dandavat pranam, they call it dandavat. So we are thinking that, oh, I have paid my obeisances. That's what we think, is it not? I paid my obeisances in the temple. But actual namaskaram is not that. Actual namaskaram is that if you don't allow that ahangaram inside any moment to get up, wake up inside, always kept under control, that is called namaskaram. Not this physical thing. Physical thing is only a symptom of that. It is not significant. It has no value. Have you noticed? Realized people don't pay obeisances. Why? For example, you can see Ramana Maharshi and many others like that. They don't pay obeisances when they go to the temple. They don't need to. Why? Inside, it's always surrendered. It's not cheating us. Oh, why? We don't ask him, why you're not paying obeisance? I'm paying obeisance. Don't ask that to him. Because they are always in that surrendered state. They don't need to pay obeisances. They are already surrendered and always they are in the state when they are paying obeisances. They are always in the obeisances state. It is us who need to do all these things. To pay obeisances. And everything. So, therefore, jnanis, they won't pay obeisances to anybody. They don't. Not due to the ahangaram inside. There's no ahangaram inside. That is why. And therefore, they are called nistuti nirnamaskaraha. In Shivananda Lahiri, you will see Ajari Swami mentioning about them. Nistuti. They don't have to glorify the deity even. The realization state because of that. Nistuti. When they go to the temple, they don't stand in front of the deity and glorify the deity like the devotees have to do. They don't have to. Nur namaskaraha. They don't have to pay the obeisances in the temple because of this state where they are at. Where they are at. So, and because they are in that state all the time. Therefore, so whether it is paying obeisances, whether it is our initiation, whether it is Sharanagati, you have to see the principle behind it. Not the karma, what is done. Karma is simple. Initiation is 1 hour or half an hour it takes, whatever time that is. Now we are initiating on email also, isn't it? So many things to think about, I'm saying. You can think about all these things when you have time. If you are not getting much self-inquiry, you can get involved in all these things. So think about this, is that all initiation? You have to ask that question, isn't it? But all sorts of things will go on. Like this, you can't do anything about it. What my point is this. Namaskaram means it is not the bodily falling down that's important. That is, of course, in our stage that we have to do as a symbol of that. Although in my ego is very high, and if I paid my obeisances, what's the use? It's not helping. But Prabhupada used to say, do it, still do it, he said. Because many
sannyasis and all were asking Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you're paying all the time obeisances and all. Prabhupada said, why do we have to do all the time? He said, once or twice in the morning or evening may be enough. Prabhupada said, no, you pay obeisances all the time. Don't ask why, it will help you, he said. Because ego, it is so difficult to take it out from inside. It won't go. At least while paying the obeisances, you are accepting that in front of a higher authority. Isn't it? There's a higher authority. We are saying to him that I accept your authority. If nothing more than that. So, that is why this obeisances has been given an importance. Some brahmanas who are much more humble and much more subtle than us, they pay obeisances 500 times, 1000 times a day to the deity. Why? Not for anything else, not allowing that ahankaram to wake up inside. So by constantly paying obeisances, it does help to keep that ahankaram under check. So whether it is namaskaram, whether it is initiation, or whether it is sharanagati, the surrender is the key and not the karmam. Karmam is not the important factor, but the surrender is the important factor. So always, because of this, they don't have to pay obeisances to anybody because there is no ahankaram inside. It is completely left. They are always in that state of namaskaram. So when we go and see some great soul like that, before we pay our obeisances to them, they have already paid their obeisances to us. Not physically, inside. They have done that. Because they are in that state. And they don't have to pay obeisances. There's a lot of interesting stories about it. When people don't understand these things, it can develop into some weird understanding. Very weird. There is one sannyasi, and he happened to have a disciple as well. So this disciple used to pay obeisances to him every day. This is real life, it has happened. He used to pay obeisances to this sannyasi. So every day he used to pay many times obeisances to this sannyasi, and sannyasi used to talk to him and everything was good. One day he stopped paying obeisances. So the sannyasi said to him, why are you not paying obeisances anymore? He said, you used to pay obeisances before, why you are not paying anymore? So this disciple is a clever fellow. He's intelligent. So what he told him, he says to him, I paid obeisances to you, but then you were not asking. But now you started asking for it, so I'm not paying anymore. He said to him, we think this obeisances is a joke, isn't it? No, it's not. What it is that he said, all these years you never asked me. So I was paying obeisances to you. But now that you have started asking me, I've stopped it, isn't it? You're not getting it. This is the type of relationships in this world. Imagine, think about it, all these things. So ahankaram or ahambodham, when ahankaram goes away from inside, then Atma will show its power from inside. And that is why Chidabhasa is called that movement in the Atma, which is the chalanam or the movement, and that is what happens in intelligence, the chalanam in the buddhi, that is called Chidabhasan or Jiva, and that is called Ahankriti. If that goes away, then Nityobalabdhi Surupoham Atma, the last line in that verses. So Ahankaram, when it completely goes away, only then that situation will come. Which one? Nityobalabdhi Surupoham Atma. Nityobalabdhi Surupoham Atma. So, next verse you can see. And that is the same message in the next verse also. A person whose ahankaram has completely gone, what is his state? In the fifth verse, that is what he mentioned there. Mukhabhasa godarpane drishyamano mukhatval pridaktena naivasti vastu chidabhasa godishu jivobitavan sanityobalabdhi surubohamalma. That's the fifth verse. And it's the same message in the next verse also. Yadadarpana bhavama bhasahano mukham vidyade kalpana hinamekam tadhadhiviyoge nirabhasa goya sanityobalabdhi surubohum alpam yadadarpana bhava abhasahano mukham vidyade kalpana hinamekam
तथा धीवियोगे निराभासगोया सनित्योपलब्धि स्वरूपोहमात्मम्. सो हियर यथाभासम यथा दर्पणाभावम आभासहानौ. Suppose you have a mirror in front of you, and if the mirror is taken away from there, when the mirror is there, there are three things. The mirror is there, you are there, and the reflection is there. You are there, the reflection is there, and the mirror is there. Three things are there. Now, from there, if you take one, the mirror away, what happens? That both mirror goes and the reflection goes. What you are left is yourself. So that's why in Vedantam they say, if you take one out of three, it's not two, it's one. Three minus one is one there, not two. Because everything is a reflection here. Everything is a reflection here. World is a reflection inside. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. It's a reflection inside of the world. What is inside me is a reflection of the world inside me, like everybody else. The world is inside me in a particular way. It's a reflection of the world I am dealing with, and a reflection of the world all of you are dealing with, isn't it? So once the world is the reflection mirror is taken away, then what remains is only the person there, or the face, whatever way. So this is called abhasa brahmam. Abhasa brahmam means, so abhasa brahmam is this, that due to my reflection in the mirror, I am experiencing that effect, experience of that effect in the reflection. In the reflection there is effect. Just like sun is in the sky, sun is reflecting in the water. All the impurities of the water will be in the sun in the water. If the water is colored water, that color will be there for the sun. If it is muddy, the mud will be there on the sun. So anything that reflects in the water will have all the impurities of the water there. Is it not? Similarly, jiva is nothing but a reflection of that chaitanyam, living force, atma. Atma is reflecting in our andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means in your subtle body, where we have all our vasanas. And in that vasana, when it is reflecting is called chidabhasan or jiva. Vastu is one, he is reflecting. Atma is reflecting, Antaryami is that, Atma. Antaryami is reflecting in that subtle body, or jiva chaitanyam is reflecting in the chit, in that chitam. So, jiva chaitanyam is nothing but a reflection of the Antaryami in chaitanyam or in the chitam. When it reflects in the chitam, it's called a jiva. So, it says here that once that reflection stops, what happened now? There is only the original thing there, which is Antaryami. That is the Jivan Mukta state. The reflection have stopped, and therefore Jiva has gone. There is no more Jiva there to reflect. And that means all the vasanas have gone inside. If the vasana is there, it will definitely reflect. Which one? The Antaryami will reflect in the vasana, and that is called Jiva. But if the reflection, if you take it away, if you take out that vasanas away, then there is nothing to reflect upon. So therefore, jiva goes away, vasana goes away, what remains is only Antaryami, that is the Jivan Mukta state. So that means the mirror has gone, just like if you remove the mirror has gone, the reflection has gone. Is it not? Right in front of my face, I got the mirror. If the mirror is taken out, the reflection is gone, only remains is my face. Similarly, if my chit, in the chitam, if there is no vasanas, it cannot reflect anymore. There is no chitam there to reflect anymore. So there is no vasana, there is no reflection, and there is no, therefore no jiva either. Jiva is nothing but a reflection. So that is what he is saying here. Tada diviyoga nirabhasakoyam. The third line. Diviyoga. Diviyoga means that buddhi inside me, which is vasanamayam, full of vasanas inside, in their absence, that buddhi or mind or chitavritti, everything come to a stop. There is no more operation of the buddhi, mind or the chitavritti. They are not operating anymore. And when that happens, nirabhasa koyaha. He says, tatha divi yogi nirabhasa koyam.
That means there is no ahankaram there anymore. Because if jiva has to stay, this antaryami has to reflect in the vasana, and only then ahankaram will be there. So when the vasanas all goes away, when all the vasanas have gone away from inside, ahankaram has gone, vasanas have gone, reflection has gone, jiva has gone. Which is the best comparison. In the Vedantam they give this comparison to make us aware of the mirror and the reflection. So, and therefore, Atma which is present inside is independent then. There is nothing stopping them. And that the mind, which when the vasanas goes away, what happens then? What will happen is, the mind will allow for the Antaryami to come openly, to come out openly. And when your mind becomes more and more in Shanti state, vasana has gone, disappeared, or chitavritti has stopped, then you can imagine that mind has become, does not waver anymore. Mind's waveriness nature has gone away. It does not waver anymore. So, so while sitting here itself, you can think about this in this way, that you are listening and you are seeing your mind is not thinking over so many other things in this world. Is it not? It's not coming and bombarding you at the moment. Right at this moment, I'm saying. You're able to focus on what Krishna is saying. And when this is going on, other thoughts are not coming and taking control of your mind. But as soon as you leave this and go out, again the whole thing comes back. So, for a little period of time, you're finding some shanti inside when you are discussing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in satsangam. Otherwise, you can also say that when you are in a nice bhajan or kirtanam going on, you're listening to that, mind will take that shape, shanti state. So where is that shanti coming? That shanti will not come by working. But if you've done a lot of work, shanti is not going to come. Or it only happens that sometimes when you go to the temple, or when you are in the satsangam, or sometimes in an internal period where you are sitting in a very peaceful state, it can happen. So where did that come? It didn't come from outside. It didn't come from outside. That is our swarupam. That's our identity. And that's me. I am that shanti. Nityobalabdhi swarupoham atma. So when that shanti comes, if ever when you get that shanti, always remember this, that yes, this was discussed in the satsangam. If you remember that, it will help you. Because then what will happen is that you will start understanding why shanti came. Shanti had come because of this. That when you are discussing this, tada di viyogi nirabhasa koya, that for a short period of time, your vasanas inside did not bother you. Otherwise, you are driven by the vasanas inside. This is all spoken in the Bhagavatam. You have to get rid of, find out where it is spoken. I'll tell you where it is. That Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying this to Mujugunda. Remember this? Krishna sent this to Mujugunda. Remember that if you look at the Mujugunda Stuti, Krishna says to him that, to Mujugunda, that you have seen me, that's fine, in the cave when Kalayavana was killed. Remember that? Kalyana is killed and Krishna has seen Mujugunda, and at the end Mujugunda had his prayers which we discussed before. Remember Mujugunda Stuti? And in that chapter, 51st chapter, 1051, 61 verse, he is saying to Mujugunda that he congratulated Mujugunda, because Mujugunda was a great devotee, no doubt. But vasanas have not gone from inside. This was Mujugunda's problem. So what did Krishna say to Mujugunda? He says to Mujugunda, Yunjananam abhaktanam pralayamadibirbhana akshina vasanam rajan drishyade punaruttidam. Vasanas have not gone, therefore ahankaram is coming back again. That's what he's saying here. Drishyade punaruttidam. Again it is coming back, says Krishna.
Krishna is saying to Mujgunda. He says, look, vasanas have not gone. Therefore, it is coming back. Therefore, no matter whether you have done pranayama or whether you have done any other sadhana, if that vasana chayam has not, we call that as vasana prakshayam or vasana chayam, if that has not happened, ahankaram will come back again. So it is so important to wipe out the vasanas from inside. Why is only vasanas from inside? We'll discuss it again tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Is it same or same?
Prarabdham is only that part which you have experienced in this body. Vasanas are many more, which has not matured yet. It's not fructified. And they are lying there hidden in the Karana Shariram.
Yes.
They are in the Karana Shariram. And that part of Karana Shariram which has been fructified is coming as Prarabdham now.
Right.
So what more is in storage, we don't know.
So the vasana is the vehicle for carrying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vasana, which is not, yeah. Which is potential. Yeah. And
vasana is transmits everything.
Yes.
From your causal body.
Yes.
Which is avidya, which is an enemy inside.
Yes.
Into the subtle body.
Yes.
And then it turns, develops into the gross body.
Yeah. Right. And vasana needs a environment or a field to kind of come through.
Vasana is from our karma, what we have created.
Yes.
In different bodies.
Yes.
For example, you can see, we passed through 8.4 million.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Then you have come to the human form. In the human form, you have changed many times.
Yes.
So, in each of these human forms, we have accumulated vasana.
Yes.
Even in the animals species also, we accumulated vasana.
Yes.
We have got the nature of the snake, tiger,
yes.
Lion,
yes.
Elephant,
yes.
Mice.
Yes.
All those vasanas are inside us.
Yes.
And that vasana does not go away easily. That's why even when you are in the human body, sometimes you can act like a tiger or a lion.
Yes.
Or you can also act like a crocodile or anything like that.
Yes.
So sometimes we say, oh, he's like a snake, we say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no harm in saying that because he has been a snake before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was also a snake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that vasana will be there in everybody. There's nothing you can do about it.
The activation of vasana is what makes us jiva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once the vasanas have gone, you're not jiva anymore.
Yeah.
Jivatum has gone.
But that activation...
When the vasana is there,
yeah.
Antaryami will reflect in that vasana.
Yes.
And that is giving the birth to jiva.
Yes.
Jiva is born like that.
Yes.
Reflection of Antaryami in the vasanas is called jiva. Vasana, sometimes we'll call it as chittam.
Yes.
Chittam is another word used for the combined cumulative effect of all the vasana is called a chittam.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, go back to the spiritual world.
Uddhava has gone back, but Uddhava is also, they say, he is still present in many other places.
Yes.
He is present in Vrindavanam, in Kusum Sarova. He is performing penances there. Because these, you see, when they have reached that stage, then they are not bound by space and time.
No.
He is in Badrinath, he is in Vrindavan, and he is in the spiritual world as well. Yeah. It's difficult to comprehend all this at this stage. It's difficult. Because when you see, when Krishna is saying there these things, he says to the Uddhava, go back to Badrinath and reflect on all this, what I have spoken to you, and then you can come back. So, when they are liberated, completely liberated, then they are present everywhere, wherever they want to be. In Vrindavan, they are present because Uddhava followed the gopis. Like gopis are present in Vrindavanam, Uddhava is also present in Vrindavanam. And Narayana Maharshi, Narada Maharshi, others are performing penances in Badrinath. Uddhava is also performing penances there. And Uddhava is in the spiritual world as well. So.
But Uddhava is not writing the exploits of Krishna, that's Vedavyasa, isn't it?
Yes. Is it not Ganpati who's actually done
that? Ganpati wrote it, right. Vedavyasa dictated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vedavyasa dictated,
yeah.
Ganpati wrote it.
There's an interesting parallel with the New Testament.
Yeah.
St. Paul has a quote which says, now you see through a glass darkly,
yeah.
But then you will see face to face.
In a different way.
It's a different way.
I mean, truth cannot be different. Truth is the same every day. Only way of expressing may be different.